Blog Talk Radio.
Show started. This is the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show coming live from the world headquarters of West Texas Pitmasters. Brought to you by Barbecue Superstars and Daryl Mass. And we're going to have a pretty good show tonight. We're going to have Jerry Mowers on from Moyer's competition, barbecue competition team on. He just got a GC this weekend in Georgia at the National Barbecue Cup, so we'll have him on here shortly, and we'll talk a little barbecue with him. And we'd like to give a shout-out to all of our sponsors real quick, and we'll get this show started. Like I said, we first of all, I'd like to thank Daryl Mass and Barbecue Superstars for allowing us to have the show every Sunday night, and all the other shows that we have during the week with several other stars out there, so you know, always tune in. There's always a show on somewhere. So, and Carol's even got some morning shows, stuff going on now. So, you know, tune in. I'd also like to thank Red of Red Meats for all their support and their great meat products and stuff that they sponsor us with. Pitmaster Depot, Zach and Jay and the guys down there, give a shout-out to them. And if you're needing rubs or whatever, they can pick you up. They've got some of the cheapest shipping out there. So give them a shout, Pitmaster Depot. You can find them at pitmasterdepot.com. GOT Energy Services, Brandon and Jennifer Spaulding out of Midland, Texas. Give them a huge shout-out. They're big supporters of our competition team. So We'd give them a shout out. Oak Ridge Barbecue. Like I say, on my front, we've got some great rubs, got some more stuff in the works. I think he's always working on some new things, and so looking forward to that. And like I said, if you're looking for some winning rubs and stuff, give Oak Ridge a shot. They'll sure improve your scores. Texas Web and Graphic. Need business cards, banners, or anything like that. They're out of Lubbock, Texas. You can look them up online. Paul will fix you up out there. Give them a shout. So, ADT's Barbecue. Man, he's got some great barbecue sauces and stuff out there. Give old Jason a holler. He can fix you up. You can find him on Facebook under ADT's Barbecue. Big Ron's Rubs, another big supporter of ours. It's got a great beef injection. So if you need anything of that nature, or he also has rubs and sauces too. Give Big Ron a shout, and he can sure fix you up. Meat Rake, like I said, if you need to pull your pork or shred brisket or whatever, they're the tool to use. He'll sure do it. Give them a shout. Brad Barrett with Grill Grates. What can I say? I think everybody kind of knows about the grill grates out there and the phenomenal. And if you're looking for an infrared and even cooking surface, want to kill your flare-ups and stuff like that. And it's the grates to be using out there. They do the tackler jobs. Got some great products. Got some new stuff out there. Griddles. I know he's got some new tongs. So give Brad Barrett a holler. Like I said, great sponsor of ours. You can find them at grillgrate.com. So, that being said, like I said, we're going to have a good show tonight. Everybody can call in at 347-202-0263. Give him a shout. All right, looks like maybe we got Jeremy in. Let me see if I can get him queued in, and we'll get the show started. 678-773-6158. You're live.
Hey, Lance, this is Jeremy. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How are you?
Man, I'm really good. Thank you. We are.
Cloud nine right now, I bet, aren't you?
Yeah, man, we are. We've been chasing that first grand for quite a while and finally got it this weekend. And to do it with, 79 teams and that caliber of teams is definitely – very exciting for us,
absolutely.
It was a pretty high scoring contest too. It was down to the last minute, we had no clue. So it was a pretty big shock. But we're still on cloud nine and buzzing from it.
I was kind of watching the results as you guys were posting and stuff, and I seen you said no call chicken, no call ribs, and I thought, man, and Then you first in pork, and I was like, okay. And then I didn't see anything on the brisket. And so and then I got busy. I was doing some other stuff. And so, later on, I seen a glimpse. I turned my computer or my phone back on, and I just seen a glimpse. It said GC, and then, it updated, and it went away. And I was like, hey, what was that? And I went to digging back in there, like, I thought, man, that's the funny thing about, Kansas City South scoring and stuff is that, you don't have to be in the top 10 to win the thing,
absolutely.
In every category. So, you were what, 698?
Yeah, it was 698, 7884, so almost 699. We were knocking on 700 club score. And some good friends of ours, a team called Curly Tails here in Atlanta, they got three calls, and so man, we just knew they had it, and when they got called, because we only had one call, we didn't get a brisket call either, so when they called Curly Tails as third place, we thought, all right, well, Donnie with Warren County Pork Choppers must have it, because he had two calls, Scott Smith of Q&Stone Brewing had two calls, Curly Tails had three calls, and those three hadn't been called yet, and we thought, all right, well, it's going to be Scott or Warren County. And so they called Warren County for reserve. And so we were sitting there, and you know, he said, "The grand champion." And he paused for like a minute almost. We were like, "Come on, just get it over with and get our score sheets, you know, see which category we just called us, man." And it was unbelievable. I mean, yeah, it was, it's kind of a fog still, you know. We have so many friends there. And it was our first time cooking on a new cooker. And we're working with Southern Q this year. We're going to be cooking on their cookers, and it's a new gravity feed Jim Berg with Killer Bees is cooking on, and Barry Johnson with Swigging Pig, and it's Tim Thomas and Scott over at Southern Q. It's a good, amazing cooker, but I've never cooked on a gravity feed charcoal type cooker before, man. I've always been a stick burner. So I picked that thing up Tuesday, didn't build a fire in it until Thursday. I went to the contest early and set up and cooked chicken and ribs on it, but I never cooked pork. But got comfortable enough with it and got comfortable enough with the guru and how the whole thing worked that I felt good enough going to the contest switching. But I sure didn't think we'd get a grand on it, you know, first time out on the new cooker, especially with those teams there, man. I mean, you had Pellet Envy right next to us, and Tommy Trigg, and, you know, a list of who's who's, you know, Mike Richter, you know, Chick Swan and Bovine, and not to mention all the Georgia teams that were there. They're just, you know, phenomenal teams. Parrothead came down from Parrot Smokers from South Dakota, you know. It was a shock, man. It definitely was. But, you know, it was weird, though. Like, chicken. I mean, we got 23rd in chicken, but it was a 173. I've won categories with a lower score than that. You know?
Yes.
It's pretty crazy. Because we got a 173 in ribs also. We got 13th. So all of our scores are that 173, and then pork we got a 179.4. So it was a high score and very tight contest. You know, I mean, 23rd place and you're doing a 173, that's pretty crazy, you know. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It sure was.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm very happy for you guys, and congratulations. I know exactly how you feel. I mean, you know, we sold our first grand this year, and I was the same way. I mean, I was still like you that day, you know, because of the IBCA stuff. We hit a couple of categories, and like, you know, they're running four categories today. You know, we're back out, we're in, and, you know, everybody's like, "No, you got it." Nah, I was like, "Nah. I've been too close many times," you know, and at the end of it, you're sitting there going, "Man, what happened? I could have sworn we had this thing," you know?
Right.
And stuff like, you know, no. But, you know, and that is, that's the crazy thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, that's the crazy thing is, you know, this last year or so, we've gotten four reserve grands, and we've got third place four times. So eight contests we did this year, we were third place or reserve grand, and a couple of times we just knew we had it, and we didn't. And so this time we knew there's no way we had it. One call out of this field and guys had multiple calls, there's no way, you know. And then for us to pull it out, that was the ultimate shock, you know, which I think made it even more fun because we just didn't even think we had a chance at that point, you know. It's not like you're sitting there going, all right, it's between me and them, you know, and who got it, you know. But it wasn't like that. We didn't even think we had a chance, you know. In fact, I was pretty bummed out because I called top 15, and I went, man, I thought we had a cook, and we really bombed something not to make the top 15, you know. Crazy how the game works, man.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting there going, "Well, crud," you know. And, I mean, and that's it. I mean, that is the thing. And that's, like I said, I mean, you know, we've been there. I mean, it's, you know, cooking KCBS type stuff. I mean, you know, and then you do get results, and you find out how close you were here or there on, you know, on something. It's like, man, you know, we were right there. Or, you know, it's like, man, what happened here? I mean, boy, they really hated us on this deal. And, you know, it just, it's a roller coaster sometimes. But, you know, that is a nice thing about that. You know, we've talked about that. You know, at least you kind of know where you're at, what's happened,
right,
and And to where, like Ivy said, you're on the top 10, you just sit out there and you wonder the rest of your life what happened.
Right. Well, that's
you're not going
to know. When we got our score sheet in, the first thing you see on the cover sheet is the four categories in your ranking overall for each category. And then it shows you what table you landed on and what your ranking was on those tables. In ribs, we got 13th overall, but we were second on our table. Every other category, we won our table. And that's all you can really do is be the best at the table, you know?
That's right.
The table score higher or lower, and we've talked about that. But at least now with the new KCBS judging or the new score sheets, and this was the first contest the first weekend that now they've gone back out with comment cards. They have a new comment card they're sending out, or they're using at contest. So you get a lot of information to be able to look at and kind of see where you landed on your table and where you landed overall and how that table scored and all the other categories and all that stuff. There's a lot of data you can kind of analyze if you just to see, you know, if you're on the right track or not. And then,
I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, you know, the first contest that we got to see that, the new judge in this year was at the Royal, and, you know, it was sitting there, and, I mean, just like you said, I mean, I'm sitting there, and I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, you know, okay. But, I mean, it tells you so much. I mean, it tells you, I mean, if you're sitting on a table that you're scored low or, you know, whatever, I mean, just like us, I mean, just what you said, I mean, we had a 173 or 174 in the Invitational in Chicken, and, of course, I was floored to see that, you know, at the Invitational there, but, you know, we were 18th, and I was number one on the table, and the next guy out of our table was like 73rd.
Right.
You know, I was like, wow.
He turns a good thing that day. You know?
You know? And then you take, you know, like that day on the briskets, the table that, the 180, and I think it was Smokey D, he hit a 180. Everybody on that table, all six of them, the lowest score in brisket on that table was a 175.
Right.
And I was like, and they were in the, you know, every one of them was in the top 25 of the, you know, the contest. I was like, dang, I wish I'd been on that table.
Right, absolutely. There's tables you want to get on, and there's the dreaded tables. I think we talked after the Sam's Club event. Maybe we didn't, but we did the Sam's Club event in Hendersonville. That was our regional. And, there's a dreaded table five that just killed just about everybody. The team that won it by, I can't remember the name of the team that won the contest. It doesn't matter at this point anymore, but they won by a pretty large lead, but they didn't hit that table. And so like pork was the category I hit it on. And out of pork, the bottom five positions was us, Rub with Swamp Boys. You had Jim Berg with Killer Bees, who's one of the best pork cooks in the country. You had all these teams who are traditionally good pork cooks, and they were bottom five in the contest, you know. And then you look across all the categories, and every category is that way. That table, everybody landed there on that table were the bottom five or six in the contest.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get them and you just go, well, you know. It might have cost me a trip to Bentonville and who knows what. However, that's how it goes right now.
Yeah.
And I hope you know, that they are able to use that information and be able to start keeping track of what Georgia judges score high and low and kind of be able to distribute them so that all tables have basically an average score, you know.
Absolutely.
The ideal way to do it.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say heard an interview the other day with Tim with TrueBud, and he was talking to, they were asking him, you know, hey, what do you think it's going to take to get big corporate sponsors involved in barbecue so that there's real prize money involved? And he said, you better not worry about that so you get the judge and figure it out, because there's going to be some very mad people and there's $50,000 on the line, you know? And he's right on, you know? If you look at a score, you can see a table messed you up or a rogue judge or two. There's going to be some people get mad and possibly hurt over lots of money, you know. But it's a human.
Well,
thing,
I mean,
you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we're talking about, it's like an Invitational. I mean, we were sitting there, and I mean, we ended up on table with Trigg, and we ended up on table with Rod, you know, And, you know, them guys, I mean, got hammered in the Invitational. And, I mean, it was the same deal. I mean, it was just the main tables that we ended up on. And, I mean, you know, they were shooting low scores. And, you know, we were all sitting there going, you know, crap. I mean, because you're sitting there on some good tables. I mean, you know, and, you know, we weren't last on any table. And you're sitting there thinking, you know, man, what were they thinking? I mean, because, you know, just what you said, I mean, you know, you're cooking there with good teams, I mean, good consistent teams. I mean, you know, people like Rod and Trigg and them guys there, and, I mean, you're right in there with them, and, you know, and then you just get, you know, the hatchet lowered, and it's like, crap. You know, it's like, man, you know, what happened? And, you know, of course, you know, you try to adjust and do different things sometimes. And, but, you know, that's the thing I like about this new deal is that, I mean, you can see that. I mean, if you're sitting on a table that was just crap scoring all the way around it, I mean, there ain't no sense in changing nothing. I mean, you don't know until, you know, now you get that crap score two or three times, you know, in a row, then, okay, all right. Obviously, maybe I've got a problem here. But, you know, that's like our pork. I mean, same way with us this year. I mean, you know, it was one of our strongest categories in Kansas City. And, you know, and then we got, I said, we got enough. I think that was one that Rod and I were on the safe table. And, I mean, or I don't know, maybe it was three. And, I mean, they just drilled every one of us. And it's like, man. You know, the one category I was hoping that, you know, we might pull something off. Like, well, thanks. Appreciate that. Y'all took care of that problem.
I was talking to some guys last night about some of that, about different regions, different flavor profiles, and do they change, do they not change, and it's kind of an interesting thing. Because, like, okay, you know, hey, we got this contest, so, man, I'm going to the roll next year. You know, I always said I'm not going to the roll until I get the Invitational, and, well, we'll get it now, so I'm going to go do it just to do it, you know, just experience it. And so I was just asking some guys about that, and of course they say sweeten things up and whatnot, but it's interesting how you see different teams in different regions do really well when they go outside of that region, and they all of a sudden aren't hitting as well, you know, because it's just different different flavor profiles. But anyway, it's pretty interesting, man. So you have, you got some more cooks going on this year. Are y'all pretty well done there? I think we're
pretty well done this year. I think we did 22 or 23, and there's one more, but I think our time frame, we've got some other irons in the fire for December, and I was really wanting to go down and cook with down. They have a this R&O shootout down south there, and we've qualified to cook in it, you know, for the last 2 years, you know, with I think last year they took Grand Champions and reserves, and so last year we qualified with a reserve, and then this year of course we had the Grand. So, but we got some bigger fish to fry here in about a month, so it's gonna get kind of interesting. And so I think we're probably done for the year. I'm going to try to hit a couple of these Western Wood columns after the first of the year. You know, they're having those IBCA series down here. So I think we're going to try to cook them. And then, you know, right now we're kind of slated for, I guess maybe our first KCBS for next year will be in February. Down around Huntsville, hopefully we're going to, you know, make it down to there to cook that one with them. And I kind of see what that goes. You know, of course, you know, that's the same thing as like the Sam's Club Challenge. You know, we'll find out in, I guess, January. They post that. So we'll kind of see, you know, where the local contests are this next year and see where we're hit on that.
Right.
I'm hoping maybe they might hit around Amarillo or something around over here. They had a regional in Amarillo a couple of years ago. I guess maybe the first year they did it. And so I'm kind of hoping maybe, you know, something might hit there, you know, because they've been kind of hitting, you know, they hit Dallas this year or Fort Worth and Albuquerque. So I'm hoping maybe they might, you know, go there. It'll be my luck. It'll probably end up in Oklahoma City.
Of course. Yeah. I'm going to see. I'm curious to see where the contests are and what weekends they land on. Because I might do Sam's again next year. If there's any other local contests, though, there, like in Georgia, we have the GBC, so Georgia Barbecue Championship. And by doing Sam's, I missed two GBC events. And after this past weekend, we'll be like third in brisket, probably second or third in pork, and we'll be, you know, top five or so in the state. So missing those two contests hurt us a little bit. And you don't get any KCS points for them. And, you know, the local you do with the regionals and the finals you don't. So I'll just have to see where the contests are going to be at and what that schedule looks like and see if we're going to cook that again next year or not. It was a fun,
you know, series to do. And I would love to support it, of course. Sam's Club is probably the biggest corporate sponsor out there supporting barbecue right now. It'll be interesting to see where they land and what they do this year, you know. Because I had
absolutely
about some changes possibly, so we'll have to see what they wind up doing. But
yeah. No, I mean, and that's the thing. I mean, they are. I mean, it's. I tell you what, one of the things that was really I thought was great was like, you know, they set up at the Royal, and they opened up like at 6-7 o'clock in the morning. And I had a deal where I needed some bacon. And, you know, I mean, you're kind of there. And so, I was over talking to girls, and I was getting some pans or something. And I was like, yeah, I need bacon. No, we didn't bring bacon. But, we can sure bring it in the morning. And I was like, really? I said, I don't need it until the morning. I guess this was Friday afternoon, and I was like, so I'm going to use it Saturday morning. They're like, oh, absolutely. We can have it here about 7 o'clock. And I was like, ah, that'd be perfect. And, I mean, they did. They brought me one package of bacon. And, the girls were pretty awesome about that kind of stuff. You know, anything that you kind of needed on that, you know, if they didn't have it there, and they got it right there and got you fixed up and it was just pretty amazing. And then, there was another deal that was there, too, and I didn't get to – I really wanted to spend some time where I just didn't get time to. They had a place that was selling sauces. And just about any kind of barbecue sauce that you could think of was sitting on these tables, and you could taste them side by side.
Interesting. Wow.
Like hundreds of them.
This is
and
at the
I was
Sam's
sitting there
Club?
Thinking – No, this wasn't the Sam's Club, but this was a place right next to the Sam's Field. And,
okay.
But it was at the Royal, and I was like, man.
Okay.
It was another, another one of the big deals that I thought, man, that'd be cool to, sit over there. If you had, like, an hour or two just to sit there and sample different sauces and just see what's all out there side by side.
Absolutely. And I have to spend thousands of dollars buying a bottle of everything.
Yeah, exactly.
I got cabinets full of stuff. Guys will go, hey, have you tried this sauce? And mix this and this and this and this. You want to buy in four or five jugs and mix the stuff. And then if you don't like it, well, now you got four or five jugs of stuff sitting around. And you're not going to throw it away. You know, what are you going to do with it?
You feed your friends. That's what you do.
Yeah, man, I got a fridge outside full of stuff. My wife, she said, I didn't know this was the barbecue fridge now. I said, yeah, it is. Do we need to buy another one? I got a freezer and a fridge outside just for barbecue now, you know?
I get the same treatment. She's like, okay, what is this? And why do we have all this? Like, well, you know, this stuff works. That stuff, well, you know. She's like, well, are you going to throw away? Well, no. What are you going to do? It's our friends.
That's
it's
exactly
not bad.
Right. Next time I get a catering, I'll throw it on there. Yeah, whatever.
It's not that it's a bad sauce. It's just not maybe the profile or too sweet or, too vinegary than what we want. And,
right.
You know, And, you know, I really hadn't come across a lot of sauces out there per se. I mean, it was just a bad sauce. It just, you know, it just, to me, didn't fit my flavor profile. And,
absolutely.
You know, there's lots of that kind of stuff out there. So, well, you know, you're you're kind of starting to scare me because you're getting pretty damn good at this. And I fear all this information will get passed down to Slade over there. And, you know, he's been kind of quiet this year, thank goodness.
Yeah, he's been having a lot going on, man. He's been, you know, he runs his, my dad's business there and is real busy doing that. And then he and his wife, they have two kids, and they're fostering a couple of kids as well. It looks like they're about to adopt one of those kids, which is really cool, man. It's just look up to them to no end for what they're doing and, to, you know, bringing these kids into their home and giving them a good life that they wouldn't have otherwise, you know. And so he's been real busy this year doing that stuff. He's cooked a little, couple of things. But I was down there last weekend in Lubbock. My grandmother turned 90, and so we had a big party for her, and he and I cooked 8 or 9 briskets and for the party and had a good time. And I think he's gearing up, going to try to get out and cook quite a bit more next year since they're getting past some of this. Yeah, he's called me a few times. He's probably listening right now. In fact, he called me a few times about, you know, hey, what are you doing about this and that, you know. And so, but there again, I don't know if the flavors I'm using out here would even hit in Texas. Maybe, you know, but maybe not, you know.
Well, you know, and that's a funny thing, though. I mean, because, you know, it's like I said, I mean, I hadn't cooked as far, you know, just to where you're at, but I mean, you know, it's like us. I mean, you know, we've gone to Vegas and, like I said, to the Royal Soul like that, and our flavors are still, you know, still run. Of course, you know, I still say that I probably cook more of a KCBS style. My flavor profiles are more that direction, probably. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, and you know, and it just, you know, it just kind of, you know, it just kind of hits, you know. And so, you know, I wouldn't be surprised at all, you know, that your flavor profiles would probably do pretty well out here because, you know, there's lots of people that say lots of things about things, you know, like sauce and briskets and stuff. Oh, we don't do that. Well, yeah, bunch of crap that is because there's a bunch of them out here doing it and we're winning at it. So, we cooked a championship deal at the IBCA championship at Trader's Village. And I guarantee you, all of us that were pretty much in that deal, because several of us talked about afterwards, like, are you saucing? Everybody was saucing brisket, so. You know, and it may be just a little
ideal. I don't sauce brisket at all.
Really?
Yeah, we were talking to, there's quite a few of us talking around this weekend, and the general consensus around here is slices, nobody sauces. Burn-ins, it's about 50-50, you know. You get some people who do, most of them who do are cutting it halfway with au jus and some sauce.
That's wrong. More than anything.
I've never sauced burn-ins, slices, nothing. And there's quite a few teams that don't. Now I'll separate the point and the flat, and I'll put the point back on for a couple more hours, and I, you know, I do some different things to it that I don't my flat, but I sure don't sauce. I haven't found a sauce yet. I'm not opposed to it, but I haven't found a sauce yet that I'd like that complements beef. The sauces I use on ribs or chicken are way too sweet and just not at all. You know, I recently changed my pork sauce. I was using all the, hey, let's get some Tennessee Red with some regular Blue Hog and let's mix that. And, oh, well, let's mix some of this stuff here and there. And, you know, all those traditional comp sauces. And, I'll tell you exactly what sauce I'm using on pork. I was driving over to a contest a couple months ago and went through Jasper, Georgia, and I stopped and grabbed, a barbecue sandwich. Bubba Latimer is one of my best friends, and he's got a couple of restaurants here in Atlanta and opened one in Savannah. And I ate a sandwich, and I go, man, that sauce is good. So I bought a bottle of his sauce. This is straight, sweet barbecue restaurant sauce. And I've been using it on pork, man, in the last four contests. I've got two first-place pork calls, you know. And it's just going to a sauce that complements pork, that makes it taste like pork and doesn't overpower it. The problem I was having before is everything I would use would overpower the pork, you know. So there you go. There's a little shig right there. That's the only thing I'm giving up right now, but I'll tell you what, I'm using Bubba sauce straight out of the jar on pork, and it's been hitting. It's good stuff. So it's been kind of interesting, you know, you chase everything, you buy all this expensive stuff, you mix it together, you know, you try a year, and then you go back just to standard barbecue sauce, and it starts hitting. It's like,
yep.
Man, maybe
I know.
Too hard,
yep.
You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand that exactly. I mean, you know, and sometimes it's something that, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, kind of that situation right there. I mean, something that it may be a little different, you know, because just for that, I mean, it's like Blue's Hog. I mean, you know, Blue's Hog's gotten worn out. I mean, you know,
sure.
Everybody has used it. I mean, you know, yeah, I mean, the 50-50 and, you know, this and it's that. And,
right.
And, you know, it's just, and I mean, I used it. And, I mean, I've changed up some myself this year because of that. I mean, you know, it's
yeah.
like, you know, one of my sponsors, I mean, Jason, I mean, he's got some pretty good barbecue sauce out there. And, you know, so, You know, and I think, you know, most of the guys around here know, you know, it's like me. I mean, you know, I cut some of my stuff a little bit with pepper jelly, you know, on
right,
great
cherry sure.
stuff. And, I mean, you know, it's got a little bit of bite. And, I mean, you know, you don't have to use a lot of it because it is pretty sweet. But, you know, it's not something that just really overpowers it. And, you know, and that's
yep.
like, that's what we use at the Royal. I mean, I used it, and, you know, my chicken come out. I mean, you can even tell that there was really a barbecue sauce on it because, I mean, that stuff's so translucent.
Right.
And, you know, it just
yeah,
gave
I used
it, you know,
jelly
gave
in my apple.
Sheet.
I used some jelly in my chicken sauce, and it's it does. It's neat how it creates this it's not a sauce. It is more of a translucent system. It just makes it shine, you know?
Yeah, that's it. I mean,
yeah.
It's got a little bit of bite to it, and, I mean, it does
sure.
have a little bit of sweet to it. And, I mean, you know, so, I mean, it does help in that department. But, yeah, I mean, that sheen that you get and that that glossy finish, I mean, you know, hell, it's just hard to beat.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
You know? So, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, little things like that. And I mean, you know, there's not a lot of it being, you know, used right around here with the guys, maybe after I've said it tonight, you know, but, you know.
Exactly. Well, there's a lot of options on pepper jelly, so are you doing the pineapple habanero, the apple or what? So you don't have to go that far.
I ain't going that far.
Exactly right.
You know, Craig and I talk every now and then, and matter of fact, he's, you know, I've been messing with his barbecue sauce a little bit, too. He's got a barbecue sauce out, and it's good.
I've heard about
it, it's a good sauce. I mean, you know, and so I've been playing with it a little bit, too, and, you know, just kind of running, you know, just what's that? I mean, just running some different things and singing and playing. And,
right.
And, you know, it's just, there is, and I mean, you know, all these products, just what you said earlier. I mean, it's like all these products out here nowadays. It's like, hey, you know, you can spend thousands of dollars real quick. And,
right.
you know, it's not good. It's not that they're not good products. They're all good products. It's just finding the combination for you that works for you. And, you
exactly
know,
right.
I always tell everybody it's like your favorite bass lure. You know, you find the lure that works for you. And, I mean, that's
right.
what you got your confidence in. That's what works.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's one rub I use on three different categories. Now, I'll do second layer rubs and that kind of stuff. But the base rub for three of my main categories is the same rub. And that's nice because I can buy the big box or bag of it and it lasts me much longer. I'm not having to source things from four or five different places because there for a while I was kind of using some obscure stuff, trying it out and, you know, it just got to be a pain trying to order 15 different things. So I tried to, my process now has gotten to where it's just extremely simple, you know. I mean, like chicken, another thing that most guys know now that know me, I'm cooking legs. I don't do thighs anymore. And that has streamlined the process so much. Oh, my gosh, they're so much easier to prep. They're easier to cook. There's no flipping. There's no lid. There's no scraping skin, you know. It's a different world, man. And our scores have gone up. I mean, while I was cooking thighs, I never got a call. Now I'm pretty surprised if we don't get a call in chicken. It's one of our best categories. And all I did was change cuts of meat, you know. Same basic process. And so there's been some tweaks along the way and some friends. There again, the only reason I'm doing that is because some friends of mine with a team called South Pork, man, they were Chicken Team of the Year 2 years ago. And Scott and Susie kind of pulled me aside because they saw me struggling and helped me out. So let me show you some stuff. And it's pretty cool how teams were all out there, and we've talked about this before, but you're all out there and you're competing against one another, but then you're just as excited when somebody else wins instead of you. And if you see somebody struggling, you give them some advice and some tips, you know. That's how they were. You know, they saw, hey, we're hitting in most categories, but chicken we weren't. So that was their strong suit. So, hey, you know, let us show you some things. And it turned our world around. Help kind of close that gap some. But
it's one of those things. I mean, you know, just exactly what you said. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, with my rub out there, you know, and I don't, yep. You know, I don't push it a lot, but, you know, I've had guys, you know, it's like we had a contest a while back, and he started cooking this year, and he's a great guy, Todd, and same deal. I mean, you know, he was playing with some different things, and he'd been messing with my rub, and so, you know, he's like, all right. And so, like, what are you doing? And so I was like, okay, this is what we do. This is what I'm doing with it. He's doing some second layering and stuff too. And sure enough, I mean, he got first place in ribs that day. I mean, whipped the crap out of my butt with my own rub. And I was like, but, you know, I was just as happy to see him do it because I was like, you know, heck, I mean, it is. I mean, it's my rub. And you know, that's one of the few things that, most of my stuff is coming out of Oak Ridge anymore because just, you know, Mike Trump has just got, just some awesome stuff out there. And we're kicking butt with it. I use mostly his stuff, you know, nowadays. I'm still using some big Rons, and like I said, you know, my rib pillow, I mean, it's still, just what you said, I mean, my base layer is still my rub,
and, right.
You know, it has been one of those things, but that's it. I mean, you find those combinations, and we've talked, me and guys have talked about that too, you know, doubling up rubs, stuff like that, so, you know, I'm glad to hear that, you know, some people say that, you know, that it does no good, but I think that, you know, sometimes, you know, there may be, you know, one other, you know, herb or whatever that's in there in that other rub, there's
right.
a lot of commonness to them, but, you know, sometimes there's something, you know, there's one other ingredient in there that might, you know, tweak it just a little bit, give it a little bit of enhancement or something of that nature, and it sets it off.
Well, I'm trying to find that balance between sweet and heat and savory and all that. So, like chicken, you know, I'll use a spicier rub under the skin, but then a sweeter rub on top of the skin, you know.
Yeah.
That really makes a big difference. And what I have a lot of judges tell me, because they'll come by after contests and whatever, and I'll give judges food and stuff and just get feedback after the contest is finished. And a lot of people aren't seasoning under the skin, so you bite into it, and if the skin were to come off or pull back, you got bland chicken, you know. And there's just there's something about doing that on chicken that helps. Pork, I don't layer rubs, but every other category, I've got, you know, layering different things, and seems to be hitting. I don't know. I'm letting it roll, you know.
I hear you, man. No,
but,
I hear you.
But trying to simple it down. I mean, this last weekend, like I said, when we cooked those briskets in Texas for my grandmother's, I'm telling you, that was some of the best brisket I've ever eaten, because I don't get the chance to cook like that very often. But, man, it was salt and pepper, period.
Yeah.
And oak wood we smoked on. And it was like, God, that was good, you know?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't fly around here, you know, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, but, yeah, and that's the deal. You know, that's a funny thing that you say that. I mean, because that's like me. I mean, when I'm catering and doing things like that, I mean, it is. It's a very basic rub. I don't inject them. I don't, you know, I don't
that's
do
still,
anything to them. I rub
we
it.
Didn't inject, and they were $35 briskets from United, you know? And I'm buying a $120 snake river farm and pumping them full of beef flavor.
Yeah.
And,
you know, it's
that's what
amazing.
They want, but, yeah.
You know, I mean, I'll do that right there. I mean, I've cooked several this week, you know, for different people. And, you know, I'll rub them down. I'll throw them on the pit. And God bless Guru, because I get sleep now at night. And, you know, I'll come out, you know, about, I put some on like this weekend. I put them on at, you know, probably, I don't know, probably about 7 o'clock, like Thursday night. Had to do a couple and put them on about 7 o'clock. And they were just Walmart Select IBP briskets. Threw them on. They were about 13 pounds a piece. Got out here about 1 o'clock in the morning. I wrapped them. And I didn't do anything else to them. I mean, I showed the firebox full of wood, let the Guru run. I got up at 6:30, come out here, and they were sitting about 2:03, 2:04, and got them out, vented them for a minute, sliced them up, put them in the roaster, and took them with me. And I was like, you know, and they called, like, man, those things were great. And I'm like,
right.
You know, but you tried at a contest, and it's like, nothing happens. And it's like,
right.
Come on.
Exactly.
I mean, this to me, this is a better brisket than what we do at contests, you know, with all the beef flavor.
Absolutely.
It just amazes me that, you know, and even, you know, I mean, you know, can't, you know, with KCBS and stuff like that, I mean, you know, with them being certified, you know, a lot of them, you know, on that end of it, it's a little different dynamic. But, you know, the same goes true. Even the IBCA, and those are just people that just come off the street. You
right.
know, they're not judges. I mean, they come off the street, and it's funny how well that works, you know, pumping them up and doing all that crap to them. And, you know, I ran the first year, and that was part of my problem. My first year with brisket was that, you know, I was doing like I do them catering. And, I mean, I thought it was good. It was a good brisket. Everybody loved it. But
sure.
Competition, they didn't like it.
Because you're going for that one bite, wow, man, you know?
Yeah.
You make a plate full of it, and you're going to get sick, but you just take a single bite or a couple of bites of it and put it down, and it'll blow your mind, you know? But it's just too rich and whatnot for my personal taste, you know?
I agree.
But, yeah, man, it's funny, isn't it? You know, we're in barbecue competitions. You're not cooking, eating barbecue, really.
Well, you know, that's what everybody asks me. Like, well, how much have you tasted? I really don't taste a lot, you know, and I'm very guilty of this. But, you know, I should be sampling stuff. It's like we were in Kansas City. I didn't eat one bite of barbecue except for what was right there, you know, a little snack here or there, you know, what we were cooking, you know, just to, you know, see, you know, where we were at. But, I mean, other than that, we didn't eat any barbecue.
Right.
And I was like, and, you know, I just didn't have time to do it. I mean, I'd love to go over to, like, Oklahoma Joe's and try it there, because everybody says, you know, this is just, you know, phenomenal barbecue. And, you know, we just don't do it. And, you know, then you sit there and you look back like, well, you know, maybe that was a mistake, so we didn't do that. But, you know, that's part of, you know, the flavor profile. I mean, you know, they talk about different flavor profiles here and there, and, I mean, I really don't know that much about it, because I know what I perceive or what I like in profiles and stuff, and that's what we normally go by. I mean, so I don't know what, Oklahoma City barbecue is like.
Sure.
So, you know, that's kind of a, I don't know, do you eat a lot of barbecue at different places and stuff where you're at?
I do. There's certain places that I will. There's a place here over in Gainesville, Georgia, called Mooney's. It's a Texas-style barbecue place. The guy's from Austin. Serves tray with wax paper, you know, brisket by the pound. So if I'm in that part of town, I'll go out of my way to go eat there. Fox Brothers here is pretty good. You know, there's a few good spots we'll hit. And we travel quite a bit with my business. And so another guy that works for me, he's a kind of a barbecue nut. And we'll go hit some of the local joints, try to find, hey, where's just the – I don't want a chain. I don't want a fancy place. Where's just the kind of rundown barbecue joints that's been here 50 years, you know? Yeah. And so we'll try some of those places just to see. And there again, that food is so different than what we cook at competitions. I never bring food back home. But this is kind of cool. I don't know if they do this in Texas yet. They're just starting it with KCBS. This was the first contest that I saw. So Randall Bowman's the promoter for the National Barbecue Cup, which is this contest in Cumming. They partnered with Homeless Food, the Atlanta Homeless Shelter, and all of the leftover food that the cooks had from the contest, and then Smithfield and a couple other companies donated a bunch of butts and some ribs, and it was all cooked up there. All of his teams could get a couple of butts from him and throw them on the cooker as well, and they donated like 500 pounds of leftover food to the homeless shelter after the contest, which is pretty cool because most of the time I'm throwing that stuff away. You know, I'm not going to bring ribs home and rewarm them. I might bring some pork home because I can make some pork tacos or maybe some brisket and make some chili or something out of it, you know. But for the most part, I'm tossing the stuff every week because there's only, you know, you cook 25 contests a year. You don't want to eat it during the week, too, you know.
Right. No, and I mean, that's right. You know,
yeah.
You know,
so
the
of...
homeless stuff, huh? I thought about that. You
so,
know, they did that at the Royal.
Some of them are kind of finicky about taking pre-cooked food. They'll take raw but not pre-cooked. But if you look around, there's a number of places that will take pre-cooked food. And so all these teams with their leftover food, we just put it in Ziploc bags and took it to them, and they threw it in a big refrigerator truck and took it downtown, you know, which is a pretty cool concept, you know.
That's how they did it at the Royal. Actually, the Royal, they furnished us pans and with lids and everything. And when we were done, you put your stuff in there and you took it over to St. Bill. I mean, you took it over. And actually, I think the first day they actually had people out there. Actually, they were coming around on golf carts and actually picking it up. And
right.
I just all my leftovers pretty much when we were up there, I had one of our friends, kind of like you. I mean, he was from Texas, and he works for Cargill, XL. And they had moved him up into, well, he was in, our fact, he was over in Newman, Georgia for a long time, and then he's up in Marshall, Missouri now. And so they come over, and he's one of those kind of guys, like, hey, I'll take all left, or like, you're fit. You can have it all, buddy.
You're not kidding.
I'll get texts like, "Yeah, we're eating such and such now." I'm like, really? Still? Dang. And then my brother-in-law's like that too. He's a bachelor, and so when we're at competitions, he boxes it up and he takes it home with him. And you know, same deal. I'll get texts. Well, you know, 3 months later, I ate the brisket from this contest, and you know, that's just what I think about it. I'm thinking, damn, I don't know how you guys do that. I mean, it's like, okay, well, I mean, you know, and I'm glad, I mean, because you hate, just what you said, I mean, I hate to waste it. But
right.
And realistically,
right.
I'm not going to eat it. I mean, I'm not, you
right.
know, the next day, you know, the brisket or something like that, you know, I might eat a slice or two of it, and I'm done. I mean, I'm done with it. I don't think that, you know, when I reheat it, you know, it just, to me, it's not the same. And,
right. I'm with you.
And so, but, you know, I hadn't thought about that, and that's something that, you know, I need to check into around here.
Yeah.
You know, because we do have some of that kind of stuff around here, even in Lubbock and stuff, and, you know,
sure.
I hadn't really thought about that. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And out, like my chicken, I cook chicken that's a certain weight. There's a range of weight that I'll use chicken on so it cooks consistently. But I'll buy 5 family packs to get 12 pieces of chicken, you know, so I'll have 40 or 50 pieces left over that were too light or too big. And I'll take those, I'll crawl back those up, vacuum seal them, and I'll take those in too to the Bartow County, the county I live in, to their homeless shelter. So they see me walk in, they go, oh, the chicken guy's here, you know, and I'm sure they're tired of chicken, but, you know, I'm not ever going to eat it. I don't want to throw that food away, you know.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's kind of cool. Kind of cool to see. Well, man, you were talking about a guru a while ago. Go ahead.
We got another caller in. Let me just log him in, and we'll keep talking here, and he might have some questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe one of your competitors. He might be chigging or something.
I can chig with the best of them. Come on.
936-355-4537. You're live. Who do we have?
What's going on, Lance? This is Casey with Swamp Doggies.
Hey, buddy. What are you doing, man?
I was sitting on the porch. Our company finally left, so I was going to call in and see what y'all had going on.
Oh, that's about it, buddy. That's about it. We're talking to Jerry Moyers. He got his first GC this weekend, and we're kind of talking about that a little bit.
Appreciate that very much.
We're going to talk a little guru here. So I know you're kind of involved in one of those deals, Shotgun Fred shootout in February, 1st of March, you know, had to tie us to Guru. So we'll talk about gurus here a little bit. What were you going to say, Jeremy?
Man, all I was going to say is I called you a couple months ago because you had posted you put a guru on your stick burner, you know, and that just blew me away. I love that concept. And of my Jambos, I couldn't ever figure out how to do it. Now I've swapped to a gravity feed just this past weekend. And, man, that guru, that'll spoil you, man. That's incredible. Not having to get up every 45 minutes and put a log on the fire. I couldn't believe it. I was a different man the next day, you know. Building boxes, I wasn't cloudy-headed because I hadn't been up all night, you know, watching a fire. And It's pretty incredible, man. I wish, on the Jambos, I just don't know a way that I can get it hooked up. Because of the fire doors, I've got the boiler doors and all that stuff on them. But man, my brother and his Bubba, he needs to think a guru on it, I'm telling you. You know, that's just a different world.
Well, I mean, it is a different world. I mean, which guru are you using? CyberCube?
No, I didn't. I got... Man, I'd have to look. It's a standard one with the 25 CFM fan, but it's not the CyberCube. It doesn't have all the nice, fancy wireless technology, which would be nice, though. I didn't go for that because being a gravity feed, I'm not going to run low on wood, per se, you know?
Sure.
So I know you would use it with your cell phone so that if it started having a hard time keeping up or if the fan was running too long, you could kind of add more fuel. With these gravity feeds, I mean, you can go, you know, 12, 14 hours without running out of fuel. So I just go to bed and I check it in the morning. But
no, and I mean, you know, and that does it makes a huge difference. I mean, you know, and I mean, you know, I might, you know, wake up a little bit here or there, and you know, all I got to do is, like I said, I can get on my phone real quick, and I hit the Pit Pal app, and see how everything's progressing, and. Things like that, and I'm like, but you know, it was funny. I mean, you know, we're starting to cool off here, and you know, we're getting down to 30s at night. And like I said, I put wood on. Like I said, I think I wrapped around 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I put wood in it, and it was running about 275, 280, and I went to bed, and I got up at 6:30. and it was sitting at about 205 still, which was just, I mean, perfect. I mean, you know, that
right.
way, you know, your meat was, you know, done, and but it was keeping enough heat on it that, you know, you weren't losing anything. And
sure.
I'm sitting there thinking, you know, that was four and a half hours.
Yeah.
I didn't have to screw with it.
Exactly.
And I was thinking, and, you know, and like I said, I mean, mine's a homemade pit. I mean, you know, so my doors don't fit, you know, the tightest is, you know, like Jambo's or, you know, a lot of that stuff out there. I mean, you know, it's a little looser. I mean, mine was a 250-gallon propane tank that was built in 1959. So,
wow.
You know, it's had some wear and tear. And
that's
I don't
awesome.
Have an insulated firebox or anything like that. And it
sure.
makes a huge difference for me.
Are you
and,
using straight wood or are you using a charcoal combination or what are you doing there?
Well, you know, two things that I start out with just a little bit of charcoal. I mean, just to kind of get my
right.
bed in there. And this year I got everything plumbed in and I put I've got a weed burner plumbed into the back of my pit to where I can
right.
just plug it in like an air hose.
Yeah.
And that's how
yep.
I start my fire. And, you know, that'll get my, you know, when time I get the wood and a charcoal going, my pit's usually up to about 250.
Sure.
So, you know, it heats up pretty good. And I think that's part of it right there. I mean, you get it hot, you know, a little quicker than, you know, the old way, just, you know, throwing stuff in there. And I used to use just the paraffin wax stuff and light the charcoal
right.
and get my wood going. And, you know, it just kind of gradually creeped up. You know, you get that barrel hot, and it's, you know, it seems to stay.
Sure.
The other thing
yeah.
that I have learned, when I first started using it, when I plumbed it in, I have the fan on one side of my firebox, you know, on the back side, I have it to one side, and then I have an air hole on the other side, you know, with a damper that I can regulate my air. And
right.
what I have learned now was I was leaving that damper wide open, and I still had some fluctuation. But I have found out, you know, over the course of the year playing with it, that when I get ready to go to bed, if I'll just take that damper and I'll shut it down to about three-quarters of the way shut and just let the fan take care of it, my
yep.
temperature will stay a lot more constant, you know.
Sure.
I don't have the swing. And that makes a huge difference on it, too, that I have found.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah, that's interesting.
You know, it's just part of it, you know, you know, like I said, I mean, you having to cook on a new pit and stuff like that, you know, you got to kind of tweak it and figure out, you know, where that was at. And then that was part of our deal this year was that, you know, that's why I told everybody I said this year. And to me, I still have. I mean, we've cooked more consistently this year, but my scores have been a lot, you know, all over the map. And I think we're finally starting to get kind of honed in now. We're kind of getting everything adjusted with the guru and you know, getting used to cooking at a more consistent temperature than we were, you know, in the past where we were sitting there up all night feeding it wood.
Sure.
You know, that makes a huge difference.
And that's what our hope was when into the gravity feed was, you know, we'd been knocking on that door. We've been doing well all year, but just there, that was another variable that was in play. And it was to where, like, I did a contest about a month and a half ago in Athens, Georgia, where there's two guys that typically cook with me, my neighbor and my father-in-law. And one of them's always there. Well, that contest, my neighbor had to go to the emergency room, and my father-in-law couldn't come because he had other things he had to take care of. So I cooked by myself that time on that stick burner all night. And it flat wore me out, man, you know. And then the next day trying to figure out what pieces you want to put in a box and just the whole, you know, finishing everything and doing your turn-ins because I'm of the mindset that you win or lose a contest in the last 5 minutes building your box, you know. You know, so I just thought, man, this gravity feed thing, like this weekend, it just took all that variable out. You know, you shut the doors and the temp gets right back up. You don't have to worry about it.
you know, my ribs are typically still on when I'm building my chicken box, and it was no big deal. You know, I didn't have to go run out there in the middle of building the box and stoke the fire, you know. It just
right.
It was such a different world, and it took that variable out. And I think there is something to that food being, that temperature being dead on rock solid. I mean, all night it didn't move a degree, you know. To where we would always have 15, 20-degree swings, and that was if we were watching it good, you know, because you know how stick burners are. You reload it and you get a spike, and then it starts tailing off if you don't catch it soon
right.
enough, and you can dip pretty quick.
You're catching up.
And, yeah, exactly. Then you're out there, oh, crap, and you're blowing on it, trying to get it going again, and, you know.
Like, smoke, I took 30 minutes too long on that one.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. Man, I got a few embers left. Hopefully I can get it going again.
Yeah,
and,
I have been there, you know, exactly. I mean, that's exactly the story. And it's like, oops, that really sucks. I don't know why I did that. You know, and I'm laying in the truck a lot of times. It's like, man, if I could just have 15 more minutes, I mean, I'll get up and I'll do that. And that 15 minutes, it'll cost you an hour.
Oh, I know. You're like, man, I just got comfortable. I just fell asleep, you know. Because I don't know on yours, but, you know, everybody, at least, here's my experience at least. People have the perception that on Jambos, because they're insulated fireboxes, that you don't have to feed them as often. But that's incorrect. You feed them just as often. It's just smaller fires. I'll add one small log instead of a couple of large logs or whatever. But
exactly.
You're still every 45 minutes feeding that thing, you know. And so you're not getting any more sleep. You're just not having to carry as much fuel to each console.
Right.
Yeah. But,
well, you know, that's like us. When we went to Traders, you know, we had been in Kansas City, and we got home Monday evening from Kansas City, and like I said, my daughter really wanted to cook, you know, at Traders, which is in Dallas. So, you know, that's
right.
You know, that's 5.5-6 hours for us to go to Grand Prairie. Mm-hmm. And you know, and the wife's like, okay, she can't like miss any school, so you know, if we're doing this, I'm all for it. She's out of school on Monday, so okay, let's do it, but we're gonna have to leave after work. Like, okay.
Oh,
and,
right.
You know, so you drive all night, and I went and got them put up the motel and everything. By the time I get there, I can't get in to the contest until the next morning. But some, you know, same thing, you know, I had friends kind of save me a place, and you know, so I'm out there with a generator running and a light and a table prepping things, you know, right there at 1:30 in the morning.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, oh, this is really bad. And, you know, it was one of those deals. They're like, you know, I went and found them at about 6:30 in the morning. I was trying to get in, and they're like, well, no, the guy that's going to be here, he probably won't let you in between until 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going, I'm screwed. I'm fixing the setup in the parking lot, fired up, so you may want to move people.
Right.
I'm thinking I have to do something here. I mean, you know, this is going to be rough if we don't. And
right.
I got lucky. I had a DPS officer. He had keys to the gate, and we had a spot right on the end. He's like, here, go with me. And by 7 o'clock, he had me in. He said, I'll open the gate. He got me in. He said, don't worry about it. He said, I'll take care of it. And I was like, man, you're a great guy. He was from Jacksboro,
yeah.
You know, kind of more of a West Texas guy. And he's like, we'll take care of this. And I was like, thank you, sir. So, I mean, I was going to have to go get the girls from the motel and, you know, just all the dynamics. I'm sitting there going, man, you don't want to make anything rough on me today? And, you know, you're sitting there. And so, you know, by Saturday night, that's a two-day cook. You know, and so you cook. I was there, and I sucked some trucks a little bit, and then the next day I'm doing it. Well, my brisket hangs up on Saturday,
wow.
Sunday morning, and we cooked brisket. We started cooking brisket Saturday night, so we turned in was at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and my brisket, it hangs at like 190, and it won't budge. And, I mean, it's 2 hours from turn-in, and I'm going, man, you dang thing. And, I mean, I'm popping it
right.
to it. I mean, I'm throwing the fire to it, and I'm thinking, you son of a gun.
Exactly.
And I finally got it up to like, yeah, you know, if I get up a few more degrees and I'm sitting there and I'm not real happy and I'm thinking, crap. And, you know, and it was kind of the same thing. I mean, you know, trying to sleep and trying to get a little bit more. And then that was part of it was as I let it go, I let my power get down a little too low, you know,
right.
late, you know, or early Sunday morning, sitting there thinking, man, if I can just have 15 more minutes. And,
yeah.
you know, it cost at the end of it. And, you know, I finally pulled it off. I mean, I pulled that thing off. It was 45 minutes till turn in. I pulled it off. I rested for just a minute. Do my stuff, throw it back on there, kind of set it, slice the thing up, turn it in, and I thought, yeah, not so much for that, you know. And, you know, we hit like, I think we were 11th place in brisket that day, and I was like, I don't know how that happened, but I was happy. I mean, that was a $450 brisket that day for us, so
yeah.
I was like, son of a gun. But it did, I mean. You know, 30 minutes, like, you know, it could have cost me dearly on that thing. And,
sure. Yeah, that's how it goes when you have issues like that is when you typically do, like, pork on us this weekend. I cooked 3 pork butts. One was in the Cambro at 7:30, which is normal. And the other two hung at 185, and it was 10:30 before I pulled them, you know. And I was getting nervous if they were going to finish or not, you know. And, but it was, sometimes you just get a piece of meat that just gets hung up, you know? And
you know, man, it'll wreck you. God almighty.
Kidding, man. And the problem is, then you start opening the doors of the cooker to check it more often. You just let
you
out.
Know,
you got
like,
leave it alone.
Come on.
You're trying to talk me into doing something.
Look. Oh, yeah, no. I mean, that's just, you know, that's what it's like, dude. It is like crap. You know, what happened here? And it's going to drive you nuts. And,
absolutely.
You know, so I was going to ask you, when you come to West Texas,
yep.
And you know, and of course, you know, you growing up here, what was your favorite barbecue place around here?
You know, honestly, growing up, we didn't eat barbecue out a lot. We did some, but my granddad was the barbecue man. And there's a place called over on Utica called the Hayloft. It's still there, the building is. It looks like a big red barn. And back when I was a kid, my family ran that place. So it was... The Hayloft, my dad's a musician. We're all musicians in our family. So he ran the entertainment. My mom ran front of house, you know, the receptionist and all that kind of thing. My grandmother ran the bar. My granddad cooked, and they had brisket and ribs and all that kind of stuff. And it was more like a dinner theater kind of thing. They'd bring in country acts and that type of thing to play. So we did that for a long time. And then my granddad had a farm up at Tahoka and had smokers. And so... You know, every weekend or family events and stuff, he was always cooking, you know, brisket and ribs were his thing. You know, I mean, you know how it is in West Texas. Pork just isn't anywhere. you know, when we would go out, there was the Bigums back in the day. I think they're still around. Last
they
time
are.
I ate there, I wasn't too impressed, but I remember growing up, we ate there a fair amount. But most of the barbecue that I grew up on was my granddad's cooking, you know. Now when I go back, we'll hit Rudy's, you know. And then there's also, oh, man, what's the little place on 34th Street?
J&M.
What was that?
J&M?
Yeah, there's a J&M. That's not the one I was thinking of, but, yeah, we used to eat at J&M because they used to be up on Slide and 82nd, too, had a little small place.
I think that's still there, too. And on 34th. Hmm.
Yeah, 34th
oh,
between
Indiana.
I've been there forever. Tom and Bingo's.
Oh, yeah.
You ever eaten at Tom and Bingo's?
I have never eaten there. I've heard a lot of people say it, and I know that that's running even in the Texas Monthly from time to time,
yeah.
that's supposed to be a really good place.
Yeah, man, we used to live right there. I actually went to junior high at J.T. Hutchinson Junior High, and we lived on 36th and Gary. And so I used to walk to school and walk by there all the time. So I'd grab, you know, sandwich after school or headed home and stuff. And that's one of my dad's favorite places because it's been around since he went to Hutchinson Junior High. You know, it's been around forever.
Right.
And I haven't eaten there in 20 years. I don't know why I don't go there when I come to love. Normally when I come to town, it's quick in, quick out.
Right.
And, you know, like this last week, I actually flew to Lubbock twice. But I flew in on Monday, had meetings Tuesday, flew home Wednesday, flew back Thursday. Was with Friday, family Friday and Saturday, and we flew back Sunday, you know. So it was mad dashes in and out. I don't hardly have any time to come hang. But Tom and Bingo's was a great place. They're in.
Well, that's what we
do
sometimes. You come to town, and we have maybe a couple hours. That's what we need to do. Hook up, and might go do a little crawling and see what we come up with.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, that's it. I mean, you know, just what you said. I mean, Bingham's is still around. I never have been all that great and impressed with it. There's the Rudy's, and then, like I said, one of the ones I used to really like, and of course, they're not around anymore, and they were on 34th and Slide, was Whistling Dixie.
Uh-huh. Yep, I ate there. Sure did.
And, that wasn't a bad place.
Underwoods,
when
I was a kid. Did you ever eat at Underwoods back in the day?
Yeah, it's at Brownwood. And okay, let's talk about this because, I really don't understand that whole concept. I mean, I think that's all shoulder cloths they cook and it's doused in sauce and it's cooked on the racks. But, I mean, that is one of the most popular places. My in-laws and my wife and everybody, I mean, when we go to Brownwood, everybody's like, oh, we got to go to Underwoods. And I hate to say it because there's probably other people listening, probably my family listening, but to me, that's just not barbecue. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's been so long since I've eaten any of those places that now I'm a barbecue snob, and my perception would be totally different now than it was back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
I moved from Lubbock 97, so 16 years ago now. So I was 21 when I moved, and I had, you know, and it's crazy how the last couple of years doing as much competition stuff as we have, how your palate matures and you start being able to pick out little small nuances, you know, and things I used to think were great, now I just think it's terrible and I can't eat it, you know.
Well, yeah, and I mean, that is it. I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, it's like my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law's a perfect example. I mean, when I started doing this, he always liked to be around barbecue and, we always liked to, drink beer, like, microbreweries, stuff like that. You know, we always had to try that in common. And, we always got along real good. And so I told him, I said, we're going to start competing. And, he's a radiological engineer, was in the Navy, a Navy man for years. And that's kind of how I got him started on more of this barbecue side, because I sent him jerky and stuff when he was, out on the sub. And kind of find out he was selling my jerky out on the USS Topeka years ago. I'm making a killing, I guess. He's like, oh, yeah, I always take jerky. I was like, oh, man, this is a hot commodity, apparently. I was like, hey,
sure.
You know, now we could have really been making money. But, they'd kind of, they'd get together and they'd send him a goodie bag and stuff. But anyways, so we got into this cooking and stuff, and he's my official taste tester. I mean, he helps me do anything I need to do. I mean, I do the cooking, and when I slice the ribs, I have him start checking ribs. You know, he'll start biting into racks, where are they at, And, I mean, he'll be perfectly blunt with you, like, well, those are not our best ribs, blah, blah, blah. And, but, that's what he told me. He said, man, he said, you have ruined me with barbecue because, he said, my whole standard has changed in barbecue now that we've been doing it. And it has. I mean,
absolutely.
That's exactly, that is a true statement. Just what you said is that, you become a barbecue snob because your whole perception changes after you've been doing it to the level that we do it there.
Right, absolutely.
You know?
And that perfect bite, you know, and tenderness, and you really get acclimated to that, and then you go eat somewhere, and it's just some boiled ribs or some, you know, it gets fairly disheartening sometimes trying to find good barbecue, you know. That's why I like this place here in Atlanta, man. If I'm within 30, 45 minutes of it, and it's an hour and a half, 2 hours from my house, even though it's still in Atlanta, man, I'm going, because it's one of the only places. They've got a big oiler pit. You know, they cook it Central Texas style, and it's really, really good. It's the closest thing I'm going to find to good Texas brisket here. Most joints you go to that has brisket on the menu, though most of them don't. It's really hard to find anywhere that has brisket on the menu, but most of them that do, it ain't worth eating, you know. It's just dry shoe leather, basically, you know. You know, I'll never forget. It's, you know, different reasons. We talked about that. When I first moved to Nashville in 97, I went to order a barbecue sandwich, and they gave me this pork sandwich, and I thought, what the heck is this crap, you know? I had never had a pork sandwich in my life. I had no idea what the heck this was, you know? And I was a 21-year-old man.
Well, okay. So, I'll give you a little bit more on that. You know, I grew up in New Mexico. And, so I grew up with lots of Mexican food. And so the only thing we really associated, you know, we had pork, but, I mean, it was associated into Mexican dishes. I mean, like tamales and pozole and things like that. And, you know, I'll never forget, two things from New Mexico that really got me was, you know, when I was growing up as a kid, you know, we did a lot of hunting in Sevilla-Cat. And, of course, you know, we came to Sevilla-Cat, you know, my family was always in the perception everything had to be well done. So, you know, if you had a steak when I was a kid, that thing was like, well done. And I'll never forget my first time I had a medium rare steak. I was like, oh, that is so good. I was like, oh, wow, you know. And, you know, I was like, what were you people doing to these things? You guys, y'all are terrible. Y'all ought to be prosecuted for doing this to a steak now, you know. And changed my whole perception on that. Well, one of the things that I took from there was, you know, making tamales and stuff. My mother made a lot of Mexican food and stuff like that. And when I moved to Texas and, you know, really started learning, you know, a lot more about smoking meat and you know, and doing that kind of stuff, was I learned to take pork butts and smoke them, and then I'd mix them up into my chili sauce and stuff and make tamales. And everybody's like, oh, what did you do? Those tamales were so good. And I was out there, I was barbecuing those butts. And, you know, that was my first cooking, you know, pork butts was, you know, more for, you know, for that end of it. And that's where I learned a little bit about it. And, you know, so, but, you know, it is kind of funny how some of that stuff starts because, I mean, you know, just what you said, I mean, you don't go to New Mexico and think about barbecue. I mean, you know, barbecue when I was a kid was, you know, we did barbecue quail and things like that. But, I mean, generally a barbecue consisted of hot dogs and hamburgers and, you know, and that's what everybody thought of, you know, perceived as a barbecue. You know?
Right.
So where you got over here, I mean, that was a whole different thing. And I was thinking, man, I was really surprised.
My wife's from New Jersey, and she's the same thing. A barbecue is burgers and dogs and stuff, you know. And his kids is pretty funny, you know. How different West Texas is from a lot of other places, but especially from Jersey or somewhere like that. In fact, it's probably our biggest point of contention in our marriage in the past has just been the food cultural differences, you know.
Absolutely.
Because Mexican food and barbecue, that's all that could be my meals, you know, every meal just about, and I'd be fine with it. And, but this corned beef, what the heck is that? You know, cabbage? No, thank you. So that's the stuff she grew up on, you know?
Well, you know, I'll take, you know, some pastrami or a good corned beef for like a Reuben sandwich or something like that. But, you know, it took me to my adult years to even ever go even to that. I can remember my grandmother and stuff making like corned beef and sauerkraut and crap like that. And I'm like, and I when I was a kid, I turned my nose up at it. But she was from up north,
right,
too. And I'm like, and this is my step grandmother. And I'm like, oh, do we really have to eat that?
No, exactly.
I'm not going to eat this. And, you know, as I've become an adult, you know, my culture has expanded a little bit. And, you know, we'll make a good beef pastrami sandwich with, take like a ciabatta bun and toast
right.
it and take and put it in tinfoil, put it in the oven, get your, kind of spread your pastrami up a little bit. And then once it kind of gets hot, then put a piece of like Munster cheese on it, melt it into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put that on there and make you like a good jalapeno mayonnaise. A little bit of West Texas flair there, some jalapeno in it, mix that up, put that on it. That makes a pretty dang good sandwich, you know.
Oh, that sounds great.
I've learned to appreciate it, you know.
Yeah,
so I've learned
incredible.
To appreciate a little bit, you know. But I am very much a beef and potatoes kind of guy. That's how I grew up.
Me and you both, man.
My wife, it kills me because, you know, they love chicken and stuff like that. And she'll, you know, God bless her soul. Thank God I'm outside and I don't, she don't ever listen to my stuff. So, but, you know, she'll make things with chicken. And when we met, and this is a true story, when we met almost 20 years ago now, we met at a bar in Lubbock, Texas. And they want to eat breakfast, and I was like, well, I'll cook you guys breakfast. And we go back to her place, and she has nothing, so we had to stop by my place to get food to cook. And, you know, of course, being from New Mexico, I mean, I had to have green chili and things like that. I mean, that's just a staple where I come from. And, you know, I whip up this, you know, cowboy-style breakfast, and everybody's like, oh, wow. I'm like, yeah, that's breakfast. You know, you ain't gonna find that anywhere in town. That's our breakfast. But I'll never forget looking in her refrigerator and freezer. There was some kind of frozen chicken of something of some sort in there. And then in the refrigerator part, I mean, God bless her. I mean, she had Coors Light and Coke, and that was really about it for me and the girl. And I was like, I think she ate out all the time. And I was like, wow. Okay, well, we're gonna work on this. And, you know,
funny.
She does a lot more cooking and stuff nowadays, but, you know, it's, she made, I hate to say this because if this does come out, I'm going to get in trouble, but, you know, she wanted to make an enchilada casserole this week. And, you know, where I come from, we have flat enchiladas. It's a layered enchilada. It's usually three tortillas, corn tortillas, with a New Mexico authentic red sauce and hamburger meat and all stacked up cheese. And a lot of times we put a fried egg, sunny side egg up on top of it. And you put that yolk and stuff right down it. Man, it's just awesome.
So
she's telling me, she's like, yeah, I'm going to make this casserole. So she called me, they were at a dance or something. And she's like, hey, would you go ahead and get the hamburger meat started? So, you know, hamburger meat, you know, that's fine. I take it, I'll saute some onion stuff in it, a little bit of Mexican oregano and those kind of things, and I'll put it all together. And she walks in, she's like, you seasoned it? And I was like, hey, yeah. You asked me to brown the hamburger meat. It's got to have seasoning. And she's like, well, you messed that up. And I was like, no. And so she's like, would you give me that can of green chilies out of the pantry? And so there's also a can of olives sitting there, and I was like, you are not putting olives in this, are you? Don't worry about it. So I'm telling you right now, do not be putting black olives in this. And then I turn around, the next thing I know, she's pouring like cream of chicken or, you know, some kind of cream of something in it, and I'm going, oh, you're already screwing this up. I was, you know, and it, not that it tasted bad, but, you know, just kind of like, you know, what we talk about. I mean, you know, we're more into that authentic, you know, it's just barbecue. We want that authentic West Texas barbecue or Central Texas barbecue.
Right.
If I want Mexican food, I want an authentic Mexican food, you know. And, you know, I'm very, very set that way. And, you know, sometimes maybe too much. I mean, but, you know, I'm very particular about those kind of things. And, you know, she'll be like, or she'll like, well, we're going to cook chicken in a crock pot. Really?
Right.
I may have to find something to do outside for a while when you know, I may just be busy or, you know, I'm going to do something else. And when I come in, I'll eat a bowl of cereal or something, you know.
I can't. What's so funny is we're very well the same. I can't tell you how many meals I have this bowl of cereal. You know what I mean? Well, I got to work late tonight.
Yeah, she's like, you know, or you ain't, no, I've got stuff to do. You know, I'll eat something later, you know.
Yeah, exactly. We're both going to be in the doghouse.
Yeah, I'll say, if this ever comes out, I probably will be. I'll be wishing there was a bed on my cooker out here, because that's where I will be.
Yeah,
but
come to Georgia, I got a spare bedroom for you.
But, you know, that's it, and my wife knows it. I mean, you know, my daughter said something the other day, and she's like, well, your dad, if it's not steak and potatoes or meat and potatoes, you know he ain't going to eat it. And, you know, here's another deal, and I don't know, this may not have been a big deal where you're at. Fried bologna, beef bologna, it has to be a good beef bologna.
Right.
I can eat that. And, you know, there's lots of times, I mean, I'll fry some bologna up. And if my daughter was, you know, she's 9 years old, and she'd raise her nose up about it. Well, the other day I was in there, and I was just wanting kind of a snack, and I had some in there, and I thought, you know, heck, I'll fry some of that up. And so she's looking at me, she's like, what's that taste like? I said, you know, it's kind of like a hot dog. I mean, you know, it's just a good fried bologna, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't taste it, and I was like, sure. So she tasted it, and she's like, I said, and? She said, well, that's not bad. And so today, it was unbelievable. About lunchtime, she's like, you eating the bologna? And I said, yeah. She said, would you fry me some? I was like, really? Yes. And so I said, so I guess that's okay. She said, yeah, that's pretty good. I was like, it's got to be fried. I mean, you know. But, you know, it's like, okay. You know, and of course, Chrissy looking at it was like, you know, Chrissy had never had it. Never had it.
Really?
It's been several years back that, you know, I come home one night. You know how it is. I mean, I was at a, it was actually Mennonites. They had opened up a meat market here in Plainview, and they had a lot of the, I mean, just good old fresh, I mean, kind of like German, you know, type stuff, you know. And they had a good old beef ring bologna in there. And I was like, you know,
right.
I'll take some of that and just, you know, and, so I told Chris, I said, you know, she goes, I said, well, you know what, we just have like a fried bologna sandwich tonight. And she literally was like, I've never had one. I'm like, what? You never had a fried bologna sandwich, you know? And, you know, and my father-in-law's pretty redneck, too. I mean, he's been very refined. I mean, he was a coach and principal, and, I mean, you know, he's very, you know, into the community and stuff like that. He's a great guy. And I was like, you're telling me, because, I mean, you know, I could see Fred, you know, eating this kind of stuff. And I'm like, you've never eaten one?
Right.
Your dad never fixed you one? No, we never had fried bologna. And I'm like,
that's funny.
I'm like, I cannot believe this. I mean, you know, I just kind of blows my mind here. And she liked, no, that's not my favorite. And I was like, hey, okay, well, you know, you tried it. So,
man,
my wife,
she's never been a barbecue person, never been around it, didn't really care for it. And when I first started cooking, she's like, you're cooking barbecue again? And so now she'll still say that stuff occasionally, but she's the first one in line with her bowl out. And so she finally got to where she'd eat the pork. And now, man, every time we're at a competition, she's like, is your box done, brisket? I said, yeah. She goes, give me the leftover burnt ends. It should be like 15 burnt ends in a bowl and just go sit down and pop them like popcorn, you know? And,
well, I was going to say, I mean, you can tell on Facebook and on y'all's side, I mean, she is a huge, I mean, she's really gotten into it. kind of transformed. And, I think she really loved it. I don't know, you and I talked about that, you know, in the beginning where y'all had the toy hauler and some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, she'd come out and hang out some. But, you know, it's just, I think she really loved, and I'm sure it's this way at the competitions I'm there, but we'll go out Thursday afternoon and set up so we have Thursday night to hang out with everybody, you know. And then I would say three-quarters of the time we stay Saturday night just so that after the awards we go out and eat dinner with everybody and hang out with them again, because we have so many great friends in that family environment. She's really gotten into the social side of it, and, man, there's just this group of girls out there that's you know, parts of teams and wives of guys that are doing it and whatnot that's some of her best friends now, you know. And I love it because it's tough for, at least in my experience, it's tough for a married couple to find another married couple that you can be friends with. You have something in common with both partners. It's normally two girls, you know, who are best friends, and you're hanging out with this guy, and you're like, well, so what do we have in common, you know? And it's
exactly.
Or me and one of my buddies, and he brings his wife over, and then the girls are kind of, it's a little awkward, but this is a deal where, you know, we all just click. And so she's really gotten into it and really enjoyed it, and she's kind of getting more into it. She's looking forward to the next comps, you know. And that's why we got the fifth wheel, is, man, with three boys and my wife and doing this as much as we have this year and as we plan on next year, we better make it comfortable for everybody and make it to where, you know, it's an opportunity to make memories for the family and not just drudgery because we're in, you know, camping every weekend or whatever the case may be, you know. It's been a lot of fun, man. It's been fun to see.
Well,
no,
I mean,
get involved.
You're exactly right. Yeah, I mean, and that's exactly it. I mean, you know, and that's kind of, you know, Chrissy's kind of like that too. I mean, where her draws been is that, you know, her parents come a lot, her brother being there,
right.
and you know, they've always been a very close family. And, you know, so, you know, that for her has worked out really well. You know, they all like to come out and hang out and
sure.
Much as barbecue, and you know, we do have some friends that, you know, when we, you know, of course our concert, you know, it's a little different around here. I mean, we have some of the same teams and stuff, but I mean, you know, we're spread out so much more where we're competing and stuff. You know, it's still
right.
So rural, but you know, it works out a lot of times too to where. You know, we're in town where, you know, she's got family or something like that. And so, you know, I said, I mean, it becomes kind of a family thing. And
right.
My daughter loves to cook. And that's been one thing. You know, I think Lexi cooked four or five contests this year. And next year, even here in West Texas, they're pushing to do more contests. And so, you know, she might get, you know, a half a dozen to a dozen contests a year to cook as a kid. And,
yeah,
you know, to me, that's a huge thing. And
sure it
I
is.
Love seeing
sure
her get to cook. And you know, it's like when we cooked at the Royal. And there were 62 teams, kid teams, in the Royal cooking.
See, that's awesome,
know,
man.
You know, we're standing there, and I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, wow, holy crap. You know, this is a big contest, and
right.
You know, having a good time, and you know, it's great for them because I mean, it allows them to compete. But you know, it's the same thing too. I mean, you know, the kids kind of, you know, there's other kids around there a lot of times at these fields, and they kind of get to where they hang out and they run around, and you know, you don't have to worry about them so much. I mean, they kind of go do their
yep.
deal, or you know, their little groups, and
exactly
they can have
right.
fun, and you don't have to worry about them, and you know that to me, that's just, you know, priceless on that end of it.
Absolutely.
And
yeah, this
more
weekend,
more
man, our fifth will turn into a romper room for a little while. I called it because all the kids were over there hanging out, and I loved it, man. You know, that's when we got the place. Y'all come on over and hang out, and I know then at least what the kids are doing and where they're at. And half the time we'll have six or eight kids in there, and they're all playing Minecraft or something. I have to kick them out. So look.
It's a beautiful day outside. Get outside. Do something, you know?
Yeah.
But you're exactly right, man. That's what it's all about. There's quite a few kid Qs around here. Southern Q Smokers, which is the smoker I'm cooking on now, and one of my sponsors this year, they sponsor a lot of the contests around Atlanta with kid Qs, and they'll bring, you know, grills out, and they'll do burgers or steaks or whatever the meat is of the day. And my son's done a few of them. Scott Smith with Southern Q, his son Christopher, I swear that kid is amazing. He's like 11 years old, 12 years old. And when I took Myron Mixon's class last year, Christopher taught part of the class and was out there teaching people how to trim briskets and stuff. And we were all kind of joking around, oh, here comes this kid, thinks he knows all. And he could do it. It was like, wow. And so to see, you know, some of these young kids have that opportunity because they love doing it, to get involved in some competition, you know, who – Like Christopher and my boys, man, I'm poor kids because they got their athletic ability from me, you know. I don't have an athletic bone in my body hardly, and so this gives them something that they can do that they enjoy, that they can be good at. It's, you know, some competitions, and I teach them there are winners and losers. Not everybody wins, and it's just a cool deal, you know. So
no, I mean,
cool.
That's exactly it. Well, you know, and that was the same thing with me. I mean, Chris, you know, I played ball, and I always liked to rough around and stuff like that. We rodeoed and stuff growing up. And, but, you know, that's the deal. I mean, you know, you get older, and it's kind of the same thing. I mean, I got to the age that, you know, my body, you know, or my mind, I still want to do those kind of things, but my body wouldn't take it anymore. Still had that. You got that level of, you know, you still want to be competitive. And, you know, I tell you when it sunk in with me was a couple years ago. I've got a buddy here in Plainview that's got a barbecue shop, and so he'll throw parties. And you know, they've got kids, teenage kids and stuff. And we're down there for, I think it was Labor Day weekend or something. And they got the volleyball net and everything set up. Well, you know, it's a bunch of older guys, you know. 40 plus, and then you got these kids, you know, teenagers and stuff out there. I'm super competitive about things. And so, man, I took a few dives into the dirt for a ball that day. And when it was all said and done, I mean, I could – thank God we were off on Monday because I could barely walk. And I said,
right.
I was like, you know, I might have to find something better to do than this because that ain't going to work anymore. I mean
– Exactly.
Diving like that, I mean, whole body just kind of bouncing, like, you know. And of course, you know, we're out there drinking beer and stuff, having a pretty good time. But, like, afterwards,
right.
Oh, I'm going to so pay for this tomorrow.
Exactly.
And, you know, so I thought, well, you know, barbecue, and, you know, hey, that's that. I like this idea. I mean, I love to cook, love to barbecue, and I can compete. But, you know, it's like you said, I mean, that first year, man, I'm out there throwing wood at all this thing all night. I mean, I'm wore out.
Right. Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Man. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
always
smarter about this stuff.
I always say I love barbecue. It's the only thing where a 37-year-old fat guy can still be competitive, you know.
Yeah.
And it's about true, man, you know.
Oh, it is. I mean, I'm 43 now, and it's like I hit my 40s. When I was in my 30s, I was still pretty good. I mean, I could still mix it up with the boys. I'd get in wrestling matches and stuff like that with the kids and stuff like that. I could usually hold my own, of course, you know, just what you said. I mean, I weighed 215 or so. So, I mean, you know, I always had a little bit of a weight advantage over them. But, man, I hit my 40s, and it's like just like crap. You know, like everything just like starts falling apart. My body aches. I mean, I sleep in a chair most of the time because my body, if I lay in a bed too long, it's like someone ran over me with a semi when I get up.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, man, that was stupid. Why did I do that? You know? And, you know, I've gotten into that situation. You know, it's kind of like your dad and your grandpa when you were a kid and stuff. You know, they'd sit down, you know, and they can sit in a chair and they just go right out. I mean, you know, and then just wake up in a heartbeat, you know, look at you like, and not miss a beat. And,
right.
You know, I'm like that now. I mean, I can doze right off. I don't care what I'm doing. I can be laying upside down. I can doze off and, you know, wake back up. And when we went to Kansas City, we didn't get to leave till Thursday night after work because, like I said, Lexi, we didn't want to miss too much school with her. And so we leave, like, Thursday night, and, you know, I've worked all day. Of course, I've been packing all week, trying to get things ready, you know, and I'm just tired. And, like, we really need to be there Friday morning, so I'm going to push as far as I can. Well, I get over by Oklahoma City, and I told Chrissy, I said, man, I said, I got to take a nap. She's like, what do you mean? I said, I need about 45 minutes. And I said, I'll be good to go. I said, I can drive, you know, 3 or 4 more hours. And because it was, you know, I think Kansas City, it was 700 miles for us. And she's like, really? I said, yeah. So I'm going to find a place to pull off. And I'll never forget this because this is the first time she's actually made a trip like that. Was just like when we went to Vegas and stuff, I just drove. And so we pulled over. I found a place. I mean, maybe in Roadside Park or something. I pulled over. And I just kind of reclined the seat just a little bit. And I slept for about 45 minutes, an hour. I woke up. I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. And she looked at me. She's like, I ain't even been to sleep yet. I said, what do you mean? She goes, you literally just pulled over on the side of the road, and I'm not kidding you, in 5 minutes you were out. I was like, yeah, I told you. I said,
I'm tired.
I need a nap. And she's like, I'm not kidding. She said, I looked at you, and she goes, you're out. And she goes, I'm just now getting to where I can go to sleep, and you're ready to go. I'm like, well, go to sleep.
Sleep on drive.
Back on the road. You know, and the next thing you know, she's like, I cannot believe you have done that. And I said, girl, I said, hey, I'm to the age now, I don't mess around. If I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm going to go to sleep when I need. And I said, you know, I said, I'll doze what I need to, and I'm going to get back up, and we'll go.
Right.
She goes, that
that's exactly. That's
she's
funny.
She's like, oh, I cannot believe you just did that. I was like, hey, welcome to the world of barbecue, because this is the way it is nowadays. I was like,
right.
You know, we drove 1,000 miles in a night, you know, when we went to Vegas.
That's incredible, man.
You
I don't
know,
see how
you
drove that far and then cooked.
There was parts of us that, you know, I'm not sure that I remember real well, but, you know.
Right.
You know, we left Amarillo at 6 o'clock at night on Thursday night, and we pulled into Vegas at 9:30 the next morning. And I took a 2-hour nap in a Denny's parking lot.
That's incredible,
but, I mean,
man.
We were there.
I don't know, it's one of those deals.
I mean, how do you do it? I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I wasn't real happy that the regional was in Las Vegas, Nevada, 1,000 miles away. But on the other hand, I was like, okay, if we're going to do this, you know, there's only going to be a certain way we can do this, you know. Because it was early in the barbecue season, and that was the other part of it. I didn't want to miss a lot of work. I didn't want to use up a lot of vacation yet because we were there. I mean, we had won our grand champion, so, I mean, we had the Royal we were in. Our names were entered into the Jack at that point, you know, and then, you know, we had the Bentonville Dill Hingin. And
right.
So, you know, there was so much stuff, you know, in the fall is going to come up out of that, you know, it's like, you know, we don't want to burn a lot of time yet, you know, not knowing. And,
sure, absolutely.
So, you know, that's kind of where we were at. It's like, you know, man, I hate to use all my time up, you know, early in April, and then we've got all this other stuff fixing to happen. And, you know, and to be honest with you, it was a blessing that we didn't end up in the national championship at, you know, Sam's Club and the Jack because, you know, just going to the Royal and cooking it alone and then turning around and going to the Traders to that championship, that was enough. I mean, I was wore out.
Sure.
Tom wore out after that. And I was sitting there thinking, like, man, if we had to go into the Jack or to Bentonville after that or, you know, and even just going to the Royal and turning around and having to go to, like, Bentonville, Arkansas or to the, you know, end of the month going that other way, it's just like, you know, I don't know, that'd be tough. I mean, And now that, you know, like I say, we've cooked the broil, you know, if we get lucky and we're in another one of those next year, you know, it'd be a little easier to, you know, say, well, we're just going to cook Jack. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, totally.
Kind of cross it off your bucket list, and unless you're just, you know, going to, you know, unless you turn into Myron Nixon. Well, you know, I guess that's
right.
A little different story, but. So you took one of his classes, huh? I bet that was an amazing deal then.
It was interesting, man. There's parts of it that I really enjoyed. The downside to it was last September, so over a year ago now. And he was, you know, of course, Pit Mattress had been out. It was on season 3 or whatever. So there was 90 people at this class. And I'll bet there wasn't maybe 8 to 10 of us who were comp guys who were there to really try to learn some competition stuff. Most of them, I would venture to say, and I know a lot of them, they told me this, that their family had bought them this class as a Father's Day gift or something like that. They were backyard guys because of Myron's celebrity status, you know. And so they would fly in from California to go take his class and learn some back, you know, some techniques for cooking at home, basically, which is an expensive class to do that. But I guess if you've got the means, you know, what the heck. And so there's a lot of people. And, you know, I asked a couple of questions. Like we did the pig jig last year, which is an MBN contest. And so I asked Myron, hey, man, the difference between MBN ribs and KCBS ribs, I've heard MBN, they want them a little more tender. Is that true? And he said, man, people here won't care about that. Let's talk during a break, you know? And I'm like, well, that's a competition question, you know?
yeah. That's what I pay $150 now. This is what I want to
know. Exactly. But I did learn a lot. The brisket I'm doing now is I learned most of the brisket stuff. I've modified it some, but from his class. You know, I can tell you, I took his class the next weekend. I cooked and cooked pretty well his whole process, and he got grand champion and I got reserve grand that weekend using all his flavor profiles. And then I've tweaked it from then. I used some of his pork process, some of his brisket process. I don't use any of his ribs or chicken, but I don't like the cupcake chicken thing and all that stuff. But it was a cool class. And I'll tell you another thing, man. Myron's team of guys that he has, he has a guy named TJ that cooks with him that's just one of the greatest guys you've ever met in your life. And his son Michael's a really nice guy. He comes across a little, you know, different sometimes on TV, but he's a super nice guy. And so we cook against them probably a dozen times a year. And they always go out of the way to come by and, hey, man, you got any more questions? Everything's still going well? You know, can we do anything for you? Because they know me from the class, and then we've got to become friends outside of that. So it was very well worth it. I've done 3 classes so far. January, we're bringing Rod Gray here to Cumming. So Rod's going to come and do a class here in January, myself and a guy named Randall Bowman. Talked to him about coming in, and we got a nice facility for him, and so we're going to do that class in January. And then I was going to go to Johnny Trigg's class. He's having one in February, but it's the same weekend as our Georgia Barbecue Championship banquet, so I'm going to have to back out of that class. But I've cooked with Johnny 3 or 4 times now and gotten to know him and really just wanted to go to his class and hang out with him. You know, I don't know how many more classes he's going to do or any of that, and wanted to do it, but I can't miss the GBC banquet. So
sure.
But have you done any classes or anything? Have you ever done any of that?
No. I mean, where I've been, I mean, it's kind of one of those funny things. I mean, I'm to that point now, and I wish that I have had to do, I mean, you know, but, you know, like I said, I mean, you know, it's kind of those things. I mean, out in West Texas, there's not a lot of that going on. And
sure.
So, you know, I went into this whole barbecue thing completely blind. And, you know, like I said, I mean, we cook IBCA and that end of it. I mean,
right.
My first year I competed I had competed in probably 4 or 5 contests when I took my first Kansas City cook-off in a Sam's Club Challenge, and I get down there, and, I mean, you know, there's Victor and them from Pitmaker and all them boys down there, and you know, I start finding out, and I'm thinking, hell, crap.
Right.
I donated some money this weekend, you know, but we had a 7th place call in ribs there. And, you know, we had, you know, several, you know, we were in the, you know, top 5 and stuff like that. But, I mean, it was all, like I said, I have a buddy who has a barbecue shop here. But, I mean, you know, it's a production kind of thing. But, I mean, you know, there were some insights and stuff like that. I mean, there were some ideals and things that, I mean, you know, he got my head thinking about some different things in different ways.
Right.
You know, to say that into it. But, you know, when I went to competing, and I even tried some of the stuff, some of his process in the beginning, and in competition, you know, that's what I found. I mean, he's got good barbecue, but in competition, it didn't do nothing. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, you know, well, crap, you know, what do we do? And, you know, we just got lucky in our second competition. We hit a top 10 in chicken. And I had an old man that had been, he's probably been cooking, a guy named Royce Williams. Been around Lone Star and IBCA for probably 30 years. And the head judge was telling me, he said, hey, he said, this old man's probably going to come over and see you tomorrow. And he said, I'll tell you right now. He said, if he offers any advice, you listen to him. Take it.
Right.
He said, I'm serious. He said, he's a good guy. He said, if you listen to him, he said, he'll tell you a little bit. And I'll never forget it. He came over that morning. I was cooking. And I think we just turned in chicken. He said, you know, he said, how's things going? I said, oh, you know, it's going. And you know, and he said, he asked me if I could try the chicken. I said, sure, absolutely. I'd love for you to try it. Mm-hmm. And he tried my chicken. He said, you know, he said, there's nothing wrong with your chicken. He said, that's good chicken. So really, and I'm not a chicken person. I mean, you know, I never had cooked a lot of chicken. So I'm sitting there, and then, you know, in a competitive level, you know, even tougher. And then he came over and tried ribs. He's like, he said, let me give you a little advice about ribs. And I was like, okay, I said, I'm all for it. And so he gave me a couple of ideals and a couple of tweaks. And that day we beat him in chicken, and that was the only call we got. We ended up in the top 10 overall. And then I implemented what he told me about ribs the next weekend. We won 1st place in ribs the next weekend.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it took off. I mean, chicken and ribs was what was carrying me through my first year of competition. And,
right.
You know, we had lots of 3rd places, and we had a reserve. But, yeah, I mean, I've never had any true, you know, kind of like I said, I mean, you know, the Myron classes or anything like that. And I'm to that point now because I know that there's some things out there that I would learn and it would help me greatly to do those things.
Sure.
And that's where I'm kind of at now is that, you know, I'm going to have to do some of that stuff to, you know, to keep advancing. I mean, you know,
there's
some fundamentals that I'm missing that, you know, that I think would make you, you know, even more successful. I mean, we've had a lot of success and we've done pretty well.
That's the thing I've learned at classes is, you know, anybody that goes to a class and leaves, I did after Myron's because I'd only done one contest before and got just about DL and everything. I got a 5th place rib call, and everything else was almost dead-ass last, right? So I went to Myron's Cook School in 2nd contest. I cooked his whole flavor profile, except for I kept my ribs, which are the same ribs Suede's been cooking out there. And so they hit pretty well, and no reason to mess with it. But anybody that goes to a class who's had experience like you have and leaves and changes their flavor profile and what they're doing, that ain't the point of it, in my opinion. I like going to classes because you pick up these little techniques or you see this little process and you go, oh, damn, that makes sense, you know. And it's a lot of times things that are so obvious. You go, why the heck did – why have I been doing it this way, you know? And it's those little nuanced things that, especially at the level that you're cooking at and that we've been cooking at and everything, you've been doing it a while, you're having some consistency. It's just, okay, what puts it over the top? you know?
Absolutely.
And you see those little things, the little finishing rubs, the little, you know, how they're putting it in the box and the little things they're doing at that point to help finish it and kind of put it over the top that you really get, you know? Even some filming techniques, man, you know?
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to recant on this a little bit because I hadn't officially taken the class, but I did, and I've forgotten about this because I hadn't used them a lot, but I bought Cosmos, Darian's video.
Oh, yeah, the DVD. Yeah.
Back in the summer, and I've watched them a little bit. I hadn't watched them near as much as I should have. Kind of this winter, how we're kind of off. I'm going to go through them a little bit more.
Sure.
But yeah, just what you said. I mean, he shows some trimming techniques and things like that. One of the things that that I'll tell you, you know, and it's kind of a funny deal because, you know, being in with Oak Ridge Barbecue. One thing that Michael tries to do, and we've done it once this year already, we'll have a conference call where he'll bring everybody in, and all the teams that are on, you know, that are sponsors, sponsored by him, you'll bring everybody in, and we'll be on a conference call, and we'll hash things out. I mean, so you got people like IEB 30 and Travis Clark and some of them guys. I mean, you get them guys in there, and I mean, you know, you can talk back and forth, and one of the things the boys at IAB 30 told me, you know, because I competed with him in Albuquerque, and they, you know, we're standing over talking, and I was just chicken, and he said, "Do you scrape your chicken?" I said, "Yes." And he said, "You know," he said, "I'm gonna tell you something." He said, "I don't scrape chicken." And I said, "You don't scrape chicken." He said, "I go into Sam's, I buy the fattest chicken and biggest chicken I can find, thighs." He said, "I don't scrape them." Right. I was like, "Really?" He's like, "I do not." And I mean, he's a solid category of chicken.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, "Really?" Of course, I mean, I kept on scraping them and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, when I went to the Royal, I did not scrape one of those chickens. And when we hit 18th out of 174 teams in Invitational, and then we were 150th out of 562 the next day in chicken, I was like, "Okay, you don't have to scrape
right.
this chicken."
Right.
Yeah. You know, I was sitting there.
Man,
like,
I'd say,
okay.
When
go
I
ahead.
Change to legs, I don't scrape chicken or, you know, any of the skin there. And that's the most moist and flavorful meat, and it's got to do some of that fat rendering out of that skin and adding moisture and adding flavor, because fat is flavor, and chicken just doesn't have much fat except for on the skin. You get rid of all of it. I know this whole bite through skin and all that stuff, but there's other ways to achieve that than scraping all the fat off, you know. There again, I know a lot of people who, man, you can scrape the skin and you can see through, you can watch TV through the skin. It's so scraped and thin. And they have great success too. So,
yeah,
it's you know, it's crazy. Different things that work for different people and different things you find. I mean, you know,
well,
brisket, I don't rub till 2 hours. Brisket, I won't rub till 2 hours before I put it on the smoker. But pork, I'll go ahead and rub in the morning and put it in the fridge. Why?
Right.
Well, because that's what I've always done. You know, does it
exactly.
make any sense one way or the other? No, but hey, I've always done it that way, so I ain't gonna mess with it.
Well,
you know,
yeah, I mean that's exactly right. I mean, and that's something else too that, you know, and I'll say this about chicken. I mean, you know, one of the big things, and it's something I hadn't thought about. Just what you said. I mean, you put your rub on your pork and you put it back in the refrigerator and you let that rub sweat. And
right.
It breaks down. Well. I'll say this, and I started doing that on brisket about the last 6 months, and it's
right.
made a difference even in brisket for me. But I started
right.
sweating them out. Chicken is huge on you get it to start
oh, sure.
sweating. And, you know,
yeah.
those are little things like that I didn't do last year. You know, I was doing okay, but, I mean, it makes a daggum difference.
Well, that's one of the things that I changed whenever I changed over to legs, and I told you that team had helped me out on chicken, was they said, "Hey, prep your chicken first thing." And I said, "And go ahead and rub it." I always heard rub pulls all the moisture out of it. They said, "Rub it first thing and put it in the fridge." And I did it, and, I mean, it's sitting in there a long time with rub on it, and it's the best chicken I've ever been able to cook,
okay.
You know?
Do you inject your chicken or anything like that? Do you brine
it
or anything?
No, I do not. I don't brine, I don't inject, I do nothing.
See, now, I brine mine, and this is one problem that I had, too, was that, you know, I set my brining time up to where, essentially, I pulled it out of the brine, and I pat-dried it. You know, I patted it down, dried it, threw my seasoning
right
on it, and I threw it in the cooker. And
right,
that's just what you said. I mean, that's something that I've learned this year is that, you know, all of a sudden, I'm not, when I get there, I can go ahead and get it brined. I can brine it
right
for, you know, 6 hours or, you know, whatever time I need to brine it, then take it out, get kind of pat it dry, get my rub
right
on it, and let it sit with that rub, just like you said, and it makes a heck of a difference.
It does, man. It's incredible. You know, there again, I was always, you know, the other school is don't rub too soon because the salt and whatever else in your rubs, and I'm sure
we'll draw it out.
Rubs with different salt content, it'll draw it all out. There's some wisdom to that, but I can tell you, I can have a pan full, which I'm not doing whole chickens, you know, of course, I'm KCBS, but
right,
I can have a pan full of chicken rubbed and pull it out, you know, 18 hours later out of the fridge to put it on the cooker, and the pan's not, you haven't pulled moisture out. It's not wet, you know.
Absolutely.
And it makes a heck of a difference, man. I mean, just that flavor penetrates. It sweats some, then it sucks it back in, you know, to the meat a little bit. I don't know how all that stuff works. I'm not a food scientist, but all I know is that dang makes a difference.
Osmosis.
I ain't changing. Yeah, it's something. And you're exactly
so,
right.
No, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that is. And I mean, because, yeah, I mean, that same thing I've always heard, you know, is like, well, you know, don't go too long. Of course, you know, that's the other side of that is, you know, it's like with okra and stuff like that. There's salt in there, but there's not near the salt levels that,
right.
You know, some, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, it's like the salt levels that, you know, you and I would be using here in Texas. I mean, we use a lot of salt
right
and a lot of pepper.
Right. Yep.
And, you know, that's something that I've learned, you know, and, you know, that's something else that I've gotten to where, you know, now that we're recording, people probably won't come listen to this, but, you know, I do a salt, pepper, garlic type deal on my, I mean, that's one of my first layers of rub on a brisket, and then I come back
and
I hit it with
brother
my okrage. Then I hit it with my okrage and stuff like that. And so, and that makes a hell of a difference.
Hey, we're doing this very close to the same thing, I can promise you, because I use a store-bought rub on three categories. My other layer on brisket is that salt pepper combination with a little bit of garlic in there. I mean, it's,
I call it my downlation rub.
That's exactly right, man. I'm telling you. And that's my Texas roots coming out. And when I started doing that is, you know, brisket this last year is definitely our most consistent category. We're like 40-something in KCBS right now in brisket, which I'm happy with my first full-year cooking. We got a perfect 180. We can still obviously always looking to improve, but brisket's been good to us. And it's the simplest category I do, and I tell you what put it over the top was starting with that Dalmatian rub up front, you know.
Yeah.
And
it's
not
simple.
A heavy,
it's a simple thing.
That's exactly right. You're exactly right. We're doing the exact same thing, and it's funny that we've landed on the same thing. It's not like it's a big secret thing, but we've landed at the same thing that's landing us good results, you know?
Well, so. And I mean, you're exactly right about that, and that was something that we got into. I mean, you know, I've heard that, you know, it's nothing but salt and pepper and, you know, blah, 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 you know, but, you know, then, you know, I'm sitting here using special ops and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, I started off with just hit whole, and, I mean, it wasn't, you know, hey, we did okay, but, I mean, you know, I was like, man, what the heck, and, you know, so I'm sitting there, and I'm racking my head, and I'm racking it, and, you know, and I think, you know, we were at a contest one weekend, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, what the heck, I mean, I ain't got much to lose. Matter of fact, it was in Albuquerque at the Sam's Club Challenge. And I thought, crap, I mean, I ain't got nothing to lose here. I mean, I'm going to go. and I did that, and then I set it off, and, I mean, we hit fifth place in brisket there, and I was like, oh,
right.
Dang. And then I turned around, and we took the Buffalo Springs wings cook-off here
yep.
with 65
sure.
teams, and we hit second place in brisket. And, you know, I was like, okay, maybe we've kind of figured out something here.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And I was like, you know, crap. And just what you said, I mean, you know, I got back and I was looking at, you know, the way that they finally got the IBCA website set up, kind of like the barbecue scores, stuff like that now. And
right.
So, matter of fact, Will Cleaver and Stan and all them guys are the other ones that built it. And,
right.
you know, so I can go in there now, and I was looking the other day, I mean, you can just type in head cook, and it'll hit all your results for the year. And we got like 8 or 9 calls in brisket this year, and I'm going, that is just heck amazing that we've gone.
Yeah, that's great.
You know, and what you said, I mean, it's a simple thing. I mean, you go
yeah.
back to your roots on some of the stuff. I mean, just simple. Sometimes, I mean, that's part of this with us sometimes. Sometimes we just overthink it, and we get way too complex
you're
what we need to do.
The categories I do best in are the ones that are the simplest process. You know, I mean, I'm chicken, I rub it. I put a little butter in it. But whenever I'm about to put it on the chicken, I'm about to put it in the cooker, and I don't open the doors for 2 hours. And then I sauce it, and I'm done. You know, there ain't no flipping it. There's not, you know, it's just, it's a totally different process, but it's the simplest process to do. Besides brisket. Brisket, yeah, you put it in, you let it go. So whatever temp or time you're looking for, however you do it, and wrap it up and let it go to 205 or whatever you like. And
done. Whatever your temperature
you know?
Is, let it hit. Yeah. I mean,
and
where
I've gotten in trouble before is when I start doing too much crap to it, you know.
Yeah.
To me, beef and salt go hand in hand, you know, and some pepper. And so... You know, some of the rubs, flavor that they have up, you know, that we over-the-counter stuff adds some really cool stuff, too. But, man, starting with this, that fundamental base, and then even maybe using some of that stuff as a finishing rub towards the end really sets it off.
Sure.
You know?
That's it.
And,
do you coffee grind it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Finish rub,
yeah.
Sure do.
Yeah, I do the same thing. And, I mean, it does. It makes a difference. I mean, you just kind of... Just kind of set it in there. I mean, you can't see it, but I mean, it's sure that layer sitting right on top. And I mean, it's when they bite into it, it's like bam, it's there. I mean,
right. And I'll do
it right away.
My slices. I'll do the back of my slices and stack it in so you can't really see any of it.
Yeah.
But when you take a bite, you know, this human nature, typically you pull it out, and when you take a bite, that side's going to be on the bottom and hit your tongue, so you have all that flavor on the back side of the slices. And that's the thing I see a lot of guys do is they won't do – they'll like ribs, they'll finish rub on the top of the rib, but they want the bottom. Well, man, when people are biting in, you're getting all the flavor from the bottom of the meat. That's what's touching your mouth first, you know, your tongue and all. That's where you
well,
want
that's
that
true.
Powder.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
You
I mean,
know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that.
And a lot of people don't do any finishing. Same on chicken. Man, they'll do stuff on top, but they don't do anything on the bottom. And, man, that's where they're going to get the flavor from. So kind of interesting, something else to think about, you know,
but
the little nugget you pick up. Yeah.
That's exactly it. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on tonight. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
On your win. I'm proud that you got a GC. Now, is that I know that qualifies you for the Royal, of course, that'll qualify you for the
sure.
drawing in the Jack. Isn't that correct?
Yes, it sure will.
So,
yeah, and it was, it was a good contest. I mean, you know, there's 79 pro teams and like 40-something backyard. It's a big contest. And there was a who's who there. I mean, you know, Owen County Pork Choppers was there. And, in fact, Donnie came up to me afterwards because I know Donnie pretty well now. We've cooked a lot together and spent a lot of time together. And he goes, man, brother, congratulations. I'm proud for you. I'm real happy. He said, you just cost me first place in the country.
Yeah,
kind of
thank you.
So he's number two in that contest. that was a big contest. It would have been a 300-point contest at KCBS World.
Absolutely.
And he got reserve grand, and he sat right behind me, or I was right in front of him at awards. And when he got reserve grand, he was like, "Oh, damn it!" You know, you could tell he was just kind of deflated.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. For him to replace the added points, he's got to drop a low score. And when you got a bunch of GCs, you can't really a reserve grand isn't going to do you much good, you know. So he came up to me and congratulated me. He was real nice about it. Then he goes, "You know, you just cost me first place in the country." And I was like, "Oh, crap. Sorry, brother." You know, I legitimately felt bad. I was excited to have it, but I was kind of bummed out because I love Donnie. He's been chasing it hard all year and doing so great. And I was like, "Damn it." You know, sorry, bro.
I hear you. So are you done for the year now? Or
no, we've got one more, December 5th and 6th. In Calhoun, Georgia, just north of us here, there's smoking up the campground. It's a Calhoun, the KOA campground in Calhoun. A guy named Aaron Walkover is the promoter, and he owns the KOA there. And it's an incredible event. It's the last KCBS event of the year in the East Coast. So he was saying the other day he had 64 teams already signed up. I'm going to have more before the contest. And it being a campground, there's sewer and water, cable TV at every campsite. So it's a really nice setup. He handles it. He's the hardest working, you know, organizer out there that I know. He attended like 20-something contests this year just trying to make announcements and pass out entry forms and stuff. So we'll do it. It's the last GBC contest and the last KCBS contest, because GBC just takes points from KCBS contests, and there's certain contests that are Georgia qualifiers, basically. And so we've got it, and then we're done for the year. Till January, it's going to kick off. We've got that class with Rod Gray, and then February we've got our GBC banquet, and the GBC banquet is also a contest that starts the next year, GBC. And then around here, you've got the FBA, the Florida Association, that does a ton of contests too, so you can start cooking January if you want, you know, getting all the FBA stuff. So.
Yeah, one of my sponsors, which is Pitmaster Depot, and
mm-hmm.
You know, Zach's like, "Man," he said, "why don't you come down here and cook with us?" You know, and I'm like, "Man, I'd love to, but you know, that's a long ways over there." And
it is.
And I say it won't happen. He's like, "Well," he said, "you can come stay with me," and I was like, "I appreciate it, buddy." And I mean, I'm not gonna say that you won't ever see us over there. I mean, that's kind of, you know, it's kind of a bucket list kind of things that, you know,
sure.
I have to holler at you and you know, maybe arrange something. You know, of course they've got smokers and stuff like that, and you know, so they could probably set me up on something like that, and we might do that sometime. And
if you ever get
to
this part of town, I got a nice 28-foot enclosed trailer with shower and bathroom and bunk beds, and I got a couple of Jambos with your name on them, man. You're welcome to anytime.
So, I appreciate
come
it,
on.
Buddy.
Catch a flight.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna holler at you this week because I got something to talk to you about a little bit, and because it may work out, so you may be out in this part of the world, and I'll kind of enlighten you a little bit more about what we were talking about earlier, and I can't be real public about it right now, but this may work out where you guys are out this way. It might work out. And
I can make it a point to get out that way. Just let me know. Give me a call. You've got my number. Just give me a call anytime, man. I'd love to talk about
it. I'll do it. Well, buddy, awesome. I appreciate you coming on. If you want to give a shout out to all your sponsors and stuff like that, do it. And Stacy, you still there too?
Yes, sir. I'm just sitting here soaking up all y'all's wisdom.
I should have said
you talk.
So, we'll let Jeremy start it off and let him give a shout out to everybody, and then Stacy, then you, and then we'll wrap the show up. And like I said, man, Jeremy, Stacy, I appreciate you guys coming on tonight, and it was great. And like I said, we'll talk this week a little bit.
Yeah, that'd be great. Well, appreciate you having me on there again. I've got two sponsors. We've not really gone after any sponsorships as of yet. We've got Baxter's Original. Mike Baxter's here in Fitzgerald, Georgia. He's got a barbecue store, sells cookers and sauces and rubs. He supplies me with wood. The last year and a half or so, I've been a strictly stick burner. And you know, being a stick burner, how difficult it can be finding good wood that seasons properly but still has enough moisture in it that's not dry and flavorful. And he's been incredible at that. And so if you anybody needs any wood, sauces, rubs, whatever, you can check him out on Facebook, Baxter's Original, or they've got a website. So love working with Mike. He's an incredible guy. In fact, they got to supply the wood for the finale to Pitmasters when they did the whole hog on the Langs this year. It was all his wood that he used, and it's a cool product. And then I just picked up a new sponsor, Southern Q Smokers, moved over to Gravity Feed, and first contest, I actually picked a cooker up Tuesday, cooked chicken and ribs Thursday, and then cooked a contest this weekend and won the contest on their cooker. So I was real proud to be able to represent them right on the first contest that I had with the thing. They have Gravity Feed charcoal-type cookers, which is what I'm cooking on. But then they also have water cookers for hot and fast guys. Scott Smith, one of the owners, Q and Stewing and Brewing, he cooks on the water cooker. And, you know, he cooks 350, 400 degrees on the thing and starts his fire at 4:30 or 5 in the morning and gets done quick. So there's a bunch of guys using those as well. And then I also want to say, if I can real quick, moving over to this new cooker, man, Jim Berg this last week he's been a great friend for a long time, but he's been a godsend. That guy sent me over his times, his temperatures, where he puts all the meat on his cooker, really helped out. So I wasn't guessing this weekend. And, man, he didn't have to do that stuff. So big props to Jim also, just to be a stand-up guy and a good friend that'll, you know, to help one of his competitors out by giving him that much information. It was really cool. But anyway, Lance, thanks for having me on, man. Sure enjoyed it. And give me a shout.
Man, I'll do it, buddy. I'll do it. You have a good week, and I appreciate it. And all right, Stacy.
As Stacy Lawler with Swamp Donkey's Barbecue out of Huntsville, Texas. I give a shout-out to my sponsor, Big Ron's Rubs, out of Houston, Texas. Got some really good rubs, good beef injection. Also, check us out on Facebook. We got a big cook-off coming up in Huntsville end of next February, 1st of March. It's KCBS-sanctioned, $10,000 guaranteed payout. The grand champion is going to leave with a check and a barbecue guru Onyx oven with a guru unit. We're going to have a kids' Q competition at that event also. And y'all can check it out on Facebook. It's the first annual Shotgun Thread BBQ Showdown. And we're looking forward to it. Looking like we're going to wind up having some pretty good teams coming. I know the Barbecue Guru team is coming. And I'm not speaking out of line. I talked to one of the organizers this afternoon. And apparently there's a very famous butcher that's filling out an entry form right now. So,
I wonder who that butcher just might be.
Y'all come on down and check us out. We're going to have a good time and raise some money to get some kids some scholarships to go to school.
Absolutely, buddy. Well, man, I enjoyed you. I'm sorry you didn't get to talk much tonight, but
that's all right. I was trying to learn a little something. I'm like you, ain't. You know, like the closest school around here is Jeff White's, you know, Redneck Cookers. He puts on a pretty good school from what I hear. But that's,
yes,
you know, a 4-hour drive for me.
Well, I mean, that's it. I mean, yeah, no, Jeff White does put on a great school. I know several guys have done it. Jeff White's a great guy. I mean, he supports me a lot and doing this stuff. And, you know, it amazed me when we were over in Dallas this year talking about Jeff. Is that, you know, her walking by there, and he's like, man, he's like, well, you know, I've never gotten to be on your show. I'm like, well, you know, he got this, say something. I said, hell, I didn't know you guys even listen. He said, hell, we listen every weekend. So, to me, that's kind of a blessing. I mean, them boys like that, I mean, that are listening in to these shows and stuff like that and taking the time to listen, I mean, I want to give them a shout-out. I know Billy Overton and Jeff and all them guys. I mean, I was kind of shocked that they listened to this stuff. So, they're great guys. I mean, hell, we cook a few times a year together, you know, because I don't get over that way a lot. But, you know, hell, they've always been great guys. They've always been fun. We've always had a good time. and, you know, do anything in the world for you. So you're absolutely right. And, you know, as I said, I mean, I know he does. He puts on a good school, and he's got some, you know, proven runs and stuff out there too. So I'll give him a shout-out on that end of it. And well, man, so what else you been doing? I guess we're recording hell.
I've just been working and pulling a few catering jobs and stuff like that on my days off, you know. Just barbecued meats. I really ain't set up to be toting those guys and stuff like that. But other than that, work, barbecue.
Boy, I tell you what, I got myself into a hell of a catering deal here in a couple of weeks. You know, I don't know if you were listening to that night when we were talking to John. On that deal with Chadwick.
Yes,
sir. I had a guy, you know, wanting cowboy steaks and stuff, and so I finally got all that worked up. I saw a price of damn near $72 a plate for that one night, and they called me Friday night, so they said, let's do it. And I'm doing two suppers, a lunch, and two breakfasts for him that weekend. And I was sitting there going, holy shit.
They'll have smiles on their faces and full bellies if you're feeding them.
Oh, they're going to. I'm not pulling out any stops. I mean, we're going to knock it out. I mean, you know, we're going to do a 20-ounce bone-in ribeye from Raider Red Meat, dry aged. And I'm going to do like a bacon-wrapped tiger prawn. And, you know, we're just going to, hell, I'm going to load their asses up. And we're going to feed the shit out of them. So, you know, matter of fact, a bunch of guys from down around your part of the country out here. So no, we're gonna load them up. We're going to show them how it is. We're going to give them a hell of a bang-up job. But, you know, it's going to be kind of a crazy thing. And, hey, I was almost scared to tell them how much it was going to cost, you know. But, you know.
If they want to eat like that, they got the money to pay for it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, and that's the thing. But, you know how it is. I mean, you know, and that's what that's what we were talking about that night is that, you know, we got to get past that stereotyping that everybody perceives you as, you know, just some backwoods, you know, rednecks that, you know, cooking barbecue. I mean, because, you know, we can cook gourmet meals, I mean, and you know, it can still be barbecue or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, steak, stuff like that. But, it'd be the same thing as they'd get in a five-star restaurant or something like that, you know? I mean, how you're going to go out there to them and do it right there for them. I mean, you know, put on the show and, you know, it's kind of like a Japanese steakhouse type deal. I mean, you know, hell, if they want to come out and watch the cook for damn sakes, they can come out there and watch it. And, I like those kind of things. And, I mean, I like to be able to interact. You know, if I can interact with the chef or something like that where I'm, you know, eating somewhere, hell, I love that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, I got a little Christmas party deal to cater on the 30th of this month for a company, and they want me to cook on site so, you know, so the guests can see us doing our thing, you know. And, you know, we'd charge a little extra for that, but, you know, they didn't care.
No. I mean, like I said, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, you know, and like I said, I mean, hell, I mean, you know, you just cook it up. I mean, you fix it. You take care of them. And, you know, hell, I mean, that's worth something, you know. And, and that was the big thing is that, you know, you come out, you take care of my people, you give them a great meal, and, you know, that's all we need. I mean, you know, it's a done deal. And, I mean, so, yeah, I was pretty proud Friday when they called me Friday afternoon or Friday evening and said, all right, so we're going to do it. And he said, matter of fact, he said, he raised only 25 people, so now we're up to like 30 people on Saturday night. And I'm going, holy shit, you know, for that, I'm thinking, you know. I mean, hell, you know, the damn steaks are costing about $35 a piece.
Damn.
Yeah. You know, and, but, I mean, they're prime dry-aged ribeyes. I mean, You know.
Yeah,
hey,
I thought about them.
Yeah, I mean they're that's it. I mean, you know, they're the best that you can get. And, you know, if you're going to do those kind of things, I mean, you know, it costs to get those. And, you know, I just thank God that, I mean, you know, Raider Red's here because, I mean, you know, there's not any place else around here probably within 400 miles to get something to that degree. And, you know, so, you know, that's a great thing. I mean, it's a... you know, and the other nice part about that is, too, is, I mean, they're one of our sponsors, and so, you know, I love being able to get back a little bit on that other end of it and, you know, take care of them on that end of it, too. So, I mean, you know, that's another one of those kind of win-win things, too. So,
well, you know, and they're gonna be happy and they're going to tell somebody, and, you know, and sooner or later they're going to tell somebody that's going to call you, too.
Absolutely. No, I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, so, you know, there's no good, you know, no bad thing about it, you know. So, you know.
I got my daughter at her daycare next Thursday. I got to cook 10 turkeys for their little Thanksgiving deal at her school, you know, and I'm doing it for free, you know. But in the long run, it's going to come back to me because, you know, they're going to tell people, well, you know, at Swamp Dogs and Barbecue cooking turkeys and, Yeah, and I'll get a phone call or two out of that. Yeah,
you know,
I guarantee you.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, that's what I mean. You know, just that little post that I put on there, you know, about doing turkeys and hams and stuff. I mean, people have been calling me right and left about stuff and, you know, texting me and stuff like that. I mean, I got to the point where this weekend, I mean, I finally had to put them on my damn website to where they could go ahead and start ordering that way. And, you know, they were like, you know, hey, we want to do this stuff. I'm like, all right. I said, well, and so I thought I had a lady, you know, ask me about several different ways and stuff, and I said, you know, I said, hey, look, I said, here. I said, I have a link here in just a little bit, you know, on my website where you can just, you know, place your order and put on my times, you know, when they can pick it up and, you know, all that end of it. And, you know, that's where we're going to roll. I mean, I just went ahead and opened it up and said, you know, hell, you want to click a button, pay for it, and, you know, then, you know, and that's the hardest part, I mean, because, you know, you've got to get some way of, you know, guaranteeing that, I mean, you know, you don't want to go out there and buy a bunch of meat and then, you know, have people not show up and you're just stuck with it. So,
definitely.
You know, I found that way there, you know, I've got my website from a rub, stuff like that, and it's all secured and everything. So I just opened it up, put turkeys, hams, and briskets and that stuff on there, and hell, they can just place an order now. And I get an email, and I know what the hell I've got. I mean, the nice deal about that is it keeps track of all of it, too. That makes it a hell of a lot easier, too. So, but, well, all right, buddy. I'm gonna sign it off tonight. Hell, we went, shit, 2.5 hours tonight. New record. So, but you have a good week, and, thanks for all the support. I appreciate it very much.
Sir.
And we'll see you next Sunday night, man.
All right. Thanks, Lance. I enjoyed it, man.
All right.
We'll see you down the road. Good night.
All right. Y'all take care. All right, everybody. Well, we're going to call it a night. This is thanks for listening to another episode of the West Texas Pitmaster Barbecue Show on Sunday nights, Barbecue Superstars. We appreciate it. You know, it comes live to you every week from the world headquarters of West Texas Pitmasters. So, you guys, everybody have a good week, and we'll see you next Sunday. Good night.